to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the 11th episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I am joined by 1 week out, super sexy IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin. Chrissy.
Hello. Hello. I'm super sexy 1 week out. I love you.
I know. Super sexy. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm really excited to just get back on stage, so I'm just counting down the days, so I'm almost there.
I can't know. It's that last week. I mean, any jitters? Or I mean, me and you have done this, you know, enough times, but how are you feeling?
Not nervous, just more excited, but, you know, you always get the little butterflies when you step out on stage, so I anticipate those are coming.
Well, speaking of butterflies, this weekend was the New York Pro, which was actually a friend of ours, Evan Centipani's pro debut, and he did win. And
I know.
Yes, he did, and he actually said the same thing. He was like, it was, you know, a lot of pressure on him, and he pulled through. So on the men's side, we had Evan Centipani winning the New York Pro Show, his pro debut, and placing second was Dennis James, and third was Marcus Rule. So it was a crazy show.
And I heard Kevin English, I think, won the 202, and he's a New Yorker.
Yeah, I know.
Also, right?
Chrissy, very impressive. I mean, him and David Henry were, you know, the favorites there. And Kevin just, wow, he packs on so much muscle on that frame of his. It's amazing to see.
The guy looks like he would, all of them.
Yep. So he definitely, the men's side, I mean, it's always exciting in New York. You know how shows are in New York. It sells out every year. Tons of energy. It was completely insane. Everyone was in just rare form. All the characters are out. And then, of course, we had the female bodybuilding side, and that we had the nice predictions last week. If we all listened to the show, we had Big J1 on and making his predictions, and it was interesting. You know, we both, you know, you and I and Joel actually, you know, we picked the winner with being Kathy LaFrancois, and I got to tell you, Chrissy, man, unbelievable. She definitely, it was just hands down when she walked out on stage. Really impressive. And then we had Betty Pariso and then Rosemary Jennings, which, you know, wasn't one of Big J1's top three, but she has been, and I said this, she had won the show before. She placed third last year. New York really loves her, you know, and she is a New Yorker, and she packs on a ton of muscle on that little frame. So New York is always really interesting when it comes to female bodybuilding, and they throw curveballs sometimes. Not like some of the other shows. So, you know, it's you know, basically, we're going to have a nice show today because we have a wrap-up with Dave Palumbo, you know. So he's going to be here, and you and I are going to kind of wrap this show up with him a little bit later. So I think that's going to be a nice little treat today.
And then I know also on our show we have Debbie Bromwell, who just placed fourth at the New York Pro. So I'm excited to see what she has to say about the show.
Yeah, I know. Debbie's always, people that know Debbie, she's probably one of the most friendliest, I don't even know if that's most friendly, but most friendly persons out there. And she's always has something positive to say, and she's got good energy. So I think people are going to enjoy her on the show. And then we have Nancy Lewis. And we had talked about Nancy, remember, Chrissy, like a couple shows ago about her retirement.
Yeah, and we were going to try to get her on, so I'm glad we got her on.
Yeah, she's got a lot to say. You know, she has a little bit of history with writing a resignation letter and making that public, and we're gonna ask her those challenging questions and see what she has to say about them. And then you know what, Chrissy, we got to thank. We always can't forget. We have to thank ALRI Industries. We can't say enough about all their products and everything they do for us over here at Muscle Girls, Inc., Heavy Muscle and RX Muscle, and JoJo's Energy Drink. And I have to say that last week on the show, Chrissy, I had the nerve to call it JoJo's Vitamin Water. Now, listen, you know, you and I sometimes, you know, we all can make mistakes. And it's JoJo's Energy Drink. So I was like, oh, my God. I don't know what I was thinking. So it's JoJo's Energy Drink. Thank you. Never call it vitamin water.
I still need to try some. I'm waiting.
I know. We've got to get
Come
you.
On.
Yeah, I know. We pretty much suck over here sometimes, I got to tell you. Just like
well,
that.
That was JoJo calling.
Yeah, it was JoJo, Chrissy.
They're like, thank you for correcting that.
Right.
Well, Colette, let's roll into our Did You Knows. And at Muscle Girls, Inc., we continue to go places that other internet shows don't want to go.
Yes, we do.
So having said that, I'll roll into our first one. So listen to this, okay? A father wanted to help his son lose his virginity, so he decides that he's going to hire a prostitute for $30 as a gift for his son to lose his virginity.
First off, $30, Chrissy. Whoa.
$30. What a deal.
High quality right there.
So this is in Poland, and the gentleman, unfortunately, it was actually an undercover police officer, so the gentleman was arrested, and but luckily he was spared jail by the judge because he said that the gentleman had excellent character and he believes he didn't mean to harm his son.
Wow.
But $30.
Wow, that's what I think shocks me more, is the $30 fee there. Hey.
I don't know what she looked like.
Yeah, I don't want to know, you know? Could be one of those photos that you get in the emails, you know? But never mind that. Well, how about this, Chrissy? A Maryland man, okay, here in the good old United States, a man was sentenced for riding his bike 180 miles to have sex with a teen. So he apparently rode his... I mean, I don't know what happened to his car. These are the quality people that we have, you know?
That's far.
No, that's
far.
That's very far. I mean, let's see. Jeff, how long does it take to ride in 180 miles? I mean,
that is long.
A few days?
Yeah, I mean, so he's riding 180 miles to have sex with a teen, but, you know, that he met on the internet, because there's a lot going on with the internet, with the Craigslist killers and all this stuff. I think he was 26 years old, and he met a 15-year-old girl through the social networking site MySpace. So, I mean, we've talked about these MySpace. You know how I feel about these things. And, mm-hmm. you know, he's sentenced to 4 years in prison. So,
wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy out there with the internet. Really, it truly is. It's a whole nother world. And if anybody's ever listened to the Whack Pack show, there's no FCC with any regulations on anything that's said. No. But, I mean, it is, you know, there's very few authorities looking at, I mean, there are, but sometimes not enough. And these kind of casualties go on with the internet.
Yeah, you always hear about these teenagers getting online and meeting these older gentlemen and, you know, meeting them for sex and stuff. And, you know, they actually had a movie. Did you ever see Hard Candy? That was what this movie was about.
Oh, really?
It was about, you know, how this, you know, guy used to always go on the internet buying, like, 13, 14-year-old until one day he got in contact with the wrong one and she ended up torturing the guy.
Wow.
So,
well, you know,
it was a very good movie.
After serving in prison, he will be registered. So this is a good thing under Megan's Law. So that will as a sex offender. So that's at least good that we have those kind of criteria and laws out there.
Yeah, definitely. Well, listen to this one, Colette. So a 38-year-old Potsdam woman that works in a correction facility is facing a 5-count indictment for allegedly having sex with her prison inmates.
Oh, no.
So this lady, so supposedly she's had sexual intercourse and oral sex with several inmates back in December of 2007. And she also was alleged to give another inmate, believe this, a knife, a yellow and black folding knife, they said. So she's facing a lot of charges. So she has felony counts of third-degree rape, third-degree criminal sexual act, first-degree promoting prison contraband, and 2 misdemeanor counts of official misconduct.
Wow. Well, I have another one in Salem, North Carolina. And this 17-year-old teen held a banana under his shirt when he entered into a store and demanded money and pretended it was a gun. Okay? So... He actually had... Now, would you have the nerve to do that?
No.
I mean, now, he didn't have a weapon, which I guess, in some degree, was, you know, better than having a gun because then you'd have to deal with all these guns. But, you know, I guess he ate the banana. And then, after, so they said that he didn't have the evidence. He destroyed the evidence or whatever with the banana. So it was very interesting how that all went down, don't you think, Christy?
He ate his weapon.
Yeah, he ate his weapon. So there's no evidence, you know? How do we really know that he, oh gosh. I love these. These are so good.
Remember last week we talked about a father that, you know, put dog collars around his kids and shocked them and thought it was funny, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's just not bad fathers out there. There's also bad mothers. So supposedly in Missouri, this mother decided to use her one-year-old child to shield a gentleman from a police officer.
What?
So supposedly these police went to her apartment checking on assault claims. So obviously, you know, someone from that house called. And then a man had confronted the police. So the officers, you know, took out their taser. So the woman decides that she's going to put her one-year-old child in between the taser and that gentleman.
I can't even... You know, what is wrong with the world we live in today, Chrissy? Could you imagine?
No. I read these things and I'm like, what?
Because
and I'm like, these people do not need to be having children.
No, that's why I said that as the motherly instinct, you want to do anything you can. You would jump into, you know what I mean? You would save your own life before anything would happen to your child. And I don't know. That's why I said they have to have like certain types of criteria to be able to have children. Nobody should be able to just do it, you know?
I agree.
Well, how about this? And here's another little trip to the China that you and I need to take. Because the developers over there in China, I mean, they are really progressive, I got to tell you. They're coming up with the first sex theme park, which promises that Loveland will be educational, helping adults enjoy a safe and sexy, happy love life.
We're on it, Claire.
I know. We've got to check that out. I mean, photos are necessary.
We'll take Jeff, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff would definitely enjoy this. There's no doubt. Now, the problem is that the neighbors are a little bit upset because they think things are too exposed. And the women who work the park say that they, you know, they feel uncomfortable looking at them when other people are around. And these are the police officers, okay? They feel just kind of like this is a little strange. So I guess sex is a little taboo in China still. And, you know, they're building the park. They say, listen, we are building the park for the good of the public, Chrissy, the good of the public. And they have found that the majority of the people support the idea, but, you know, they have to pay attention that the park doesn't get too vulgar and nasty. I mean, it could be a very... slippery slope, if you know what I'm talking about, Chrissy.
Could you imagine living next door and you have little kids and like, Mom, what's that? What's going on over there?
Mom, could you explain what is going over? You know, I mean, it could get very, you know, they're clearly doing it for other countries, you know, in attracting tourism, you know, so I don't know.
Chinese are crazy.
Only in China. Only in China. Yeah, well, you know what, Chrissy, let's move on to, what's in the email bag? Because there's always something in the email bag lately. So mine's kind of interesting, but it's just bizarre as usual. What about you, Chrissy? What is going on over there in that world when you turn on that email and you get all these crazy, bizarre requests? Anything interesting?
You know, I was waiting for, you know, big offers like your $20,000 offer, but didn't come in this week, so... I read this email, Colette, and I was like, I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again, because I'm like, wait, I don't get it. Why would he do that? So here it goes. So this gentleman writes, Chrissy, he goes, I've been a fan of yours for about over five months now. My name is, and tells me his name. He goes, I'm 54, born and raised in Manhattan, and I work at a trendy sandwich shop. And he put in long hours. And he goes, and when I get home, I scour the net looking for photos and videos of you. Now, this is the part where I'm like, what? Okay, Colette, he goes, usually I will put one hand in my butt and fart till I can fart no more, while the other caresses my body while legs are up on the desk on either side of my laptop.
Chrissy, like, I think you make these things up. I mean, this is...
Like, isn't that crazy? I swear, Colette, honey bunny, I am going to forward it to you. This was actually the email I got yesterday. I just got it yesterday.
That is crazy. No, but I believe it. I believe this is happening right now as we speak. I really believe that this is true because I know I don't put anything past anyone anymore. They're into some freaky stuff.
So I make guys fart until they can't fart no more.
That's hot, Chrissy. There's not many people that can say they can do that. That's hot. That's so hot. Well, I just
I got to hear yours.
Okay, well, I just have to... because I am not the only female bodybuilder. And at first I thought it was kind of nice, you know, whatever. This guy sends me literally an email every day. And I wasn't going to even... But it got to the point where I thought, you know, this is... I got to talk about this. He sends me pictures of flowers. Now, gorgeous pictures of flowers. I'm not even convinced he takes. I mean, they look like they're cut... Like he scans them from a book and sends me these flowers and says, I am from Turkey and I love you. And I get a flower. Like every day, nothing else. No, like aww. I want to. Yeah, it seems really sweet, and I'm thinking, this is really not. And then I start talking to other girls.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, it comes up that he's like sending these flowers to every female bodybuilder that you can even imagine. So as I mentioned this now, I'm sure people are going like, "Oh my gosh, I get the same flower," and it really just says, "I am from Turkey and I love you." So, Chrissy, what I have realized here, that I'm not special. I am not anything, I am nothing more than another female bodybuilder that gets a picture of a flower. So now it means absolutely nothing to me. It's a delete. I'm sorry. It's like, there's no love there. Gosh.
You know, we have to clear it up. You are special. Okay?
Thank you, Chrissy, because I was feeling like just another number, you know?
No, you're special, and I love you.
Thank you. With that said, Chrissy, shall we move along?
We are going to go into our forum question. And this week's forum question actually comes from the women's forum at rxmuscle.com. And it comes from one of our moderators on the board, who's Guoshang Zhangshou, who is actually doing a great job as a moderator. And his question to us, Colette, is, aside from ALRI and species sponsorships, what drives you to keep training and competing? And how long do you plan to keep doing this? Neither of you strike me as just going through the motions on autopilot. So what do you think, Colette?
Wow, isn't that, that's a good question. You know, I think it's like a full circle kind of feeling. I mean, when I first started to get into competing, it was very, on a very naive basis. And you think that the world is like going to hand you over everything, like once you achieve mm-hmm. this pro status. And so you have this certain drive to get your pro card. And then once you get your pro card, you realize that you kind of become... more the delusions kind of wear away and you start to see things for what they really are, at least the sport in general. Not that it's good or bad or indifferent, it's just it loses its naive sense of wonderment. And mm-hmm. with that said, you kind of evolve. And I don't know, for me, it's I look at it as long as I enjoy the journey to the stage and I enjoy the process and it still gives me something at the end, and it's not even about winning anymore, and I've mentioned that before on other shows, it's really not. It's about what it gives me internally and what it does for me. It challenges myself for that 16 weeks and see what I can still do, and mm-hmm. and you still mm-hmm. we're still molding and creating with our own bodies. And I think when I took the pressure off of winning, for me, it just made competing just all the more pleasurable, because what I enjoy about it is that performance aspect. So I guess it's until I don't enjoy the journey, until I don't enjoy being on stage, which I can't ever imagine, you put it in your back pocket. But like I always say, and we have a person here today, Chrissy, Nancy Lewis, who retires mm-hmm. and comes back. With this game, you really can keep doing it. And I think the girls that are in their 50s or whatever, so it's just a matter of putting it in your back pocket and then taking it out. And when you want to challenge yourself and do something like, you know, to see where you can take your body for those 16 weeks and put it on stage, and you want to do that, if you take a few years off, come back to it, I think that'll be my plan. You know, if I want to take a year off or 2 years off, because you and I have so much going on. And mm-hmm. and it's sometimes hard to do it when you get ready for a show, because Chrissy, you're under a lot of, it just puts more pressure on you because you want to be your best. You're not going to just do a show not to be your best, but yet you still have all these other challenges in your life that you might have to put, you know, on the wayside while you're going mm-hmm. through the 16-week process. So it's hard, especially as we get older and we get more and more involved in other different aspects of the sport.
You are absolutely right. And I agree with you. As long as, you know, we enjoy it and we keep getting something back from it.
Yes.
So I'm all about that with you. I mean, I will keep doing it because I enjoy it. I still love competing. It motivates me. It drives me to be a better athlete. And, you know, it affects everything else in your life, I think. Because when you start looking better, you're feeling better. You know, I think that carries over to other aspects of your life, whether it's relationships, your work, and everything else.
But I see you, Chrissy, also, you're like me, a really entrepreneurial, like, I don't know, you haven't been on the Olympia yet. Now, I know this is a goal of yours because it was a big goal of mine. When you do that, then you have to say to yourself, okay, do I want to dedicate my entire life to this, you know? And then that, then you'll make those decisions, you know, as you progress. Because that's, you know, that's going to take another level of dedication. And when you
oh,
say,
absolutely.
I mean, Seville, 4 hours of cardio a day, That's half the day. That's definitely half the day. And the hours you're working over there, wow, right?
You too.
I know, it's nonstop. I don't know if anybody sleeps around here.
I don't think anyone sleeps in that house over there.
Speaking of somebody that definitely doesn't sleep, my fiancé, Dave Palumbo, he is in the house, and I think we should get him rolling and into the wrap-up of the New York Pro Show, female bodybuilding side of it. But right now, what do you think, Chrissy? Let's welcome him to the show.
Oh, let's welcome Dave.
To review the New York Pro Show, I am here with none other than Dave Palumbo in the house. So, Dave, what do you think about last night over there at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center, the New York Pro?
Hey, guys. Well, thanks for having me on the show. And, Chrissy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you on the phone.
Oh, always a pleasure, Dave.
I thought the New York Pro Show was great. I got to say, you know, for a women's show that was dead here a couple years ago and was resurrected last year, we have 24 women compete this year, and it was a very deep lineup. And I know Steve Weinberger was really thrilled with this, and I know Jim Mannion was very happy that the women came out and supported the show. And the place was sold out, so I have to believe that some of the women's fans were responsible for that.
Well, you know, New York, there's no place like it for those that love female bodybuilders.
Yeah, well, this is the
capital.
I don't know if you want to call it the nest of all women's bodybuilding.
Nice, nicely said, Dave. There's other words, but the nest works.
No, well, this is, you know, it started here. This is where the women's first Miss Olympia was held in the Madison Square Garden in New York City here. And, you know, they sold out the place when Rachel McLeish won. So, I mean, this is where bodybuilding originated. So, of course, you know, its roots are going to be strongest here. And that's why, you know, Species Nutrition, you know, got behind this show and made it happen. We're going to keep doing it year after year.
Great. Well, you know, without further ado, you know, Dave, let's start with the top three, and then we'll break it down from there.
Without further ado, okay.
This is going to turn into a fight, Chrissy, but, you know, you'll be the referee.
You guys are cute.
We're not fighting.
Not yet. It's still early in the conversation.
This is jovial jabs at each other, that's all. Makes for good radio, right, Chrissy?
Exactly.
Chrissy's like, sounds like she's half dead over there, and I know why, because you're going to be competing next week.
I know. I'm a week out, Dave. Do you think I'm on track?
I think you're on track. You're going to do very well.
I'm happy now.
Well, I'll start off with talking about the show. Kathy LeFrancois was, I got to tell you, probably the most perfect representative of probably what women's bodybuilding should be moving forward. She wasn't overly too big. She was ripped to the bone, which I like. I like, you know, I think there's no reason why a woman can't get as conditioned as a guy. I don't think it looks unfeminine because she presented, you know, beautiful makeup and hair, and she's a very pretty girl, and her presentation was great. And, you know, the judges reflected that with unanimous first place scores, and I think that no one in the place was had any problem with her winning that show.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Dave. I've heard that she is working with Iris Kyle now. Do you know if that's true?
That is true, and you know what? It's funny because backstage, Iris was there, and I was asking her why she was there, and she's like, "Well, I'm helping Kathy." And I said, "Oh, really?" And when I interviewed Kathy after, she said that Iris, she had called Iris after the Arnold. And Kathy tends to gain like 30 pounds after every show she does. And I guess the weight just wasn't coming off. And they're both from I think they're both from Texas. So she called Iris up and said, "Iris, what do you think I should do?" And, you know, Iris has got this like militant way of losing weight. You know, she believes in tons of cardio, which kind of you know, in favor of as well. And you know, she just believes in that do not give up, like I guess mental state. And Kathy liked that militant, you know, type of way Iris was. And I guess her and Iris, you know, hooked up, and Iris was giving her some tips.
You know, I just think that's interesting. I know Iris was very excited. She sat actually kitty corner to me when we were watching the pre-judging. And I didn't know at that time that she was working with Kathy, but she seemed very passionate about her and doing well. And she was like, Clep, what do you think? I'm like, she looks amazing. There's no question. But what happens when the two of them are on the Olympia stage? Does Iris continue to work with her? Or is there a point where it becomes difficult? How about that? To work with a competitor that you're competing against, one of the biggest titles that a woman could achieve.
I think it goes back to the Pumping Iron movie, like Arnold said. You know, him and Franco can train together and get ready for the Olympia, but come Olympia time, you know, he is the father and Franco is his son. Well, I think this applies to Iris as well. I think Iris is the queen of women's bodybuilding, and I think that Kathy will only be one of her many constituents on stage with her. I don't think anyone's close to Iris. Assuming Iris doesn't get hurt or anything like that, I don't think that Kathy can really challenge her for the title.
So you think she would continue to help Kathy into her Olympia prep?
I don't see why not. I think they get along. I think they like each other for some reason. They relate to each other on some sort of a level. And Kathy, you know, when I asked her about it, Kathy said, you know, Iris and I are like the same. We're both ripped on stage, and we both have that like very strong mental state. And so obviously they must like each other as friends as well.
Right. Well, okay. Let's. That'll be interesting to follow up on. To be honest with you, to see what really goes down. After the Olympia, or during the Olympia, or the prep towards it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just great to see that one competitor is helping another competitor. Yeah. I think that's just awesome.
I mean, I think if Iris decides to do contest prep, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a long line of girls that do want to work with her.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know about that. I don't think Iris really wants to get into that. I think Iris is like a real private person. I think that, you know, these like kind of one-time projects are something that she's interested in. Maybe when she finishes competing, she would do that, get into contest prep, but I think she just likes Kathy, and I think she likes something about her, and that's why she got in her corner there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I think, though, that as you see in her later years, Iris likes, I'm seeing her more. Her face is more available, and I think she is going to become more involved in the sport. I mean, we'll have to see, but I do see that her wanting to give back to it, and this is a way of doing it. You know, Dave, you know what it feels like when you help competitors. It's, you really internalize it.
Yeah, but when you miss Olympia, I mean, this
that's true, but
you don't really need any more pats on the back than that. I think she does. She's doing it because she really likes working with Kathy.
Well, now, what do you think about Betty Pariso? She places second, always placing. You know, it's very rare to see Betty out of the top six. In fact, I don't even, there's very few shows, we can name them, but very few shows that you do see Betty out of the top six. So once again, here's Betty, and she really does look phenomenal, and she places second.
Well, Betty is, it's amazing that the woman is over 50 years old because she just doesn't look it. She knows how to present herself on stage. She knows how to do the hair and the makeup and everything like that. She's got that down pat, and that's polish. And polish is important in the judges' minds, especially in women's bodybuilding. It's funny, though, people were talking about the women's event, but no one really mentioned Betty per se. It wasn't like she stuck out per se, but they just knew that that's where she belonged. You know, she might not have been in the best shape that I've seen her in, which was probably the Olympia. But she was way, way good enough to take second at this show. Had she been at her best, she might have challenged Kathy for the title. But I think Betty's goal here was to qualify for the Olympia, and to then, you know, because she didn't do the Arnold this year, and then to just take the rest of the year off until she gets ready for the Olympia and try to look her best there.
Now, Dave, it did look like she did get her implants redone. Did you notice that, or was it just me? Because I'm obsessed with boobs. Everybody knows it, so I can say it.
Come on, do I stare at women's boobs? No. I don't know. I didn't ask yet or anything like that, but it did look like she might have gotten a little enhancement. I think, you know, also as women get older, the skin gets a little looser, and maybe she decided to upsize a little to keep that, stretch out that skin a little
more. Well, Chrissy, you know I love it, so anyway. On to our third place finisher.
Okay, and third we have Rosemary Jennings. So what did you think about what she brought to the stage in New York?
You know, Rosemary is from New York, so the New York fans are very, very loyal. So when they saw her up there, there was a lot of excitement up there, a lot of yelling. And, of course, you know, Alex, her boyfriend, is the loudest guy in the place. You can hear him from pretty much anywhere. I was backstage, and I heard him screaming. So She looked great. Look, Rosemary packs a tremendous amount of muscle on that little small frame of hers. So, you know, inch for inch, she really doesn't have any gaps in her physique or any weaknesses.
Uh-huh.
To me, I don't think that she was in the best shape that I've seen her. Her glute and hamstring tie-ins and her lower back was not what she needed it to be to win this show. Now, whether she would have won if she was in the best shape of her life or not, I'm not sure. I don't know if she could have beaten Kathy. But in my mind, at least, I thought that, you know, the judges kind of rewarded her a little gently in the fact that she wasn't in her best condition. But I think that just goes to show you, when you have a great physique and you have a lot, you know, very round muscle bellies and you really don't have any weaknesses, a lot of times the judges will forgive less than perfect conditioning.
Rose is beyond thick. And I know Rose. So Rose feels sometimes that this is where you get caught up in a situation where the judges say one thing and mean another, where when she's come in and in fact, sometimes when she's come into that better conditioning, she's done certain things with her hair where what they really wanted to say was one thing and they said the other. They're like, oh, Rose, you're looking a little too, I don't know if they want to use the word freaky or overly, whatever. So when she hears these words, like when she gets that overly conditioned look, she sometimes feels that maybe she's getting, punished for that. And so then she comes in with a softer look because it's very difficult with female bodybuilding with this 20% rule or whatever. And I always just go to saying that, look, right now it appears after you see the Olympia and you see where Debbie Leshefsky places that, I mean, get into the best condition you possibly can because they seem to be rewarding that. And then you see that with Kathy. So it would have been interesting if Rose just said, look, because I've seen Rose do it. Dave, you've seen Rose do it. Rose can absolutely get into that kind of condition.
Well, just because you can get into it doesn't mean you always do it. I've seen you in very good condition and I've seen you show up in bad condition.
But
I know you didn't show up in bad condition because you thought you needed to come in softer. You just couldn't nail the diet that time.
I wonder, though, if Rose sometimes does this with some type of strategy and then doesn't quite.
I think that she just didn't nail her conditioning, and I think that she will probably continue possibly to do another show before the Olympia, and she will nail
it. Yeah, I think so, too.
So I don't necessarily think that this was planned, if that's what you're suggesting.
Okay, maybe. Well, Dave, what do you think about one of our favorites, Debbie Bramwell, coming in fourth? And I thought it was a really close tie-up with Rose and Debbie, when you saw the call-outs, people were like, well, what do you think?
Well, the way the call-outs went, it didn't look like they were close because they kind of called out Rosemary and Betty and Kathy in one call-out.
Right.
And then kind of like Debbie got relegated to that second call-out. But the scores on the judges' scorecards were a lot closer. It was only like a 5-point decision, which is like 1 point per judge. So it was closer than it appeared. The way the call-outs went. But, you know, Debbie brings to the stage, you know, great conditioning. Her conditioning was better than probably Betty's and Rosemary's. She doesn't have the structure of those two girls or the size. So it's kind of like, well, what are we looking for? Now, Debbie's presentation is great. Her hair makeup is great. So, you know, I think some judges said, we like that look better. It's maybe a little more feminine. Maybe it's like more what we want. And then the other judges said, no, well, we like structure and we like, you know, muscles. So Debbie's kind of caught in between that situation where, you know, it's going to be apples or oranges. Now, I hate to use that analogy, but it is. If Debbie goes to a smaller show, she probably wins or comes in second. At the New York Pro, with the deep lineup they had, she's got to settle for fourth. But I think it's a good showing for her, and I think that I was proud of her. I helped her, so I was proud of what she brought to the stage.
Yeah, she was very excited to be working with you for this prep because I'd seen her at the Arnold's and she looked great back then. She's like, I'm working with Dave. And I was like, wow, you look great already. And that was back at the Arnold's that she looked so good.
I'll tell you, she gets, when her body starts getting in shape, her metabolism takes off on us. You know, I don't even feed most women any carbohydrates, and I was giving her some carbs at the end. And it seemed like the more I gave her, the faster her metabolism got and the flatter she got. So next time around, I got to feed her more the last week because, you know, it's funny. You don't really know that much about a person's body until you work with them a few times. And she just has a unique ability, a unique metabolism for a woman, especially in that last week of prep.
It's too bad, Chrissy, if you know with the ruling. I know we talked about this on one of our shows, that the top three of any pro show, open pro show, they go to the Olympia. Now, we had that issue with the Tampa, and that's what caused, you know, that little bit of controversy with Isabel Terrell. But given that, the Tampa's back on. They're taking the top three, but they do not go down one more place because Kathy is already qualified. It would have been nice, Dave. It just would have been nice to take Kathy's qualified for the Olympia, and you've got Betty who wasn't, so Betty, and then you got Rose, if they took that other third place so that you give three people a chance to go to the Olympia.
Yeah, well, you know, the rules are the rules. And, yeah. You know, I encourage Debbie to compete again. You know, maybe she'll do Atlantic City, which is right before the Olympia. And, you know, I think the more she competes, the better she gets anyway.
Right.
There's only two more shows before the Olympia for bodybuilding, Tampa and then Atlantic City, correct?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Well, then we have Dina coming in fifth, which was interesting. I was impressed with Tazzy. I love Jeannie. I'm not sure. It was an interesting decision for fifth. Although Dina came in wonderful condition.
You're talking about Dina Westerfield.
Dina Westerfield, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Dina and Dina Westerfield, Tazzy Cologne, and Jeannie Paparoni, and Jeannie was sick, I heard, for the prejudging, and probably, I'm sure, into the night. That was pretty close for all those three girls. I think Jeannie and Tazzy actually were tied. And there was a score discrepancy, I think, at the after the show was over, and then when it was posted on the IFBB website, it was slightly different. So I think it was a tie, and they had to break the tie, and Tazzy wound up getting pushed down to seventh, and Jeannie was sixth. Dina had a pretty solid fifth place showing. She probably had the best conditioning and separation from the back. You know, from the front, she still has to bring her legs up a little bit. And that's probably why Debbie edged her out. You know, Debbie's got good leg development and a nice leg separation in the front and the back. So, you know, Dina has a structural problem in that, you know, it's hard for her to put mass on her frame because she's small. So, you know, she'll do well in the smaller shows against the girls that are not as big. But when she comes into these shows where you got the Betty Parisos and you got Kathy LeFrancois, and even when you have a Tazzy in the lineup, she's going to have trouble, you know. So the fact that she beat Tazzy shows that she did have something that the judges liked. You know, it could be, you know, where hair and makeup were presented and the fact that she's got a very good stage presence. But I thought she did well, and I think that if she keeps going, she will qualify for the Olympia.
Dave, two things. First, I feel that Tazzy definitely gets judged rather difficult. And they seem to really be hard on her at every show.
Well, they liked her. They gave her first place at the Europa show last year in the heavyweight category. So I think they like Tazzy. I think everyone likes Tazzy. She's really not a hard person not to like. She did have some questionable, you know, lumps on her one side of her glute. And I don't know if the judges mistook that as something that they didn't want to represent the sport with or what. But, you know, it didn't look that bad to me. Maria Seguro, who I think finished in 10th or 11th place, she had a lot more questionable marks on her body. And you know what? Probably they looked worse because she really wasn't in very good shape. So, you know, the judges are really marking harshly against that. I mean, I remember Heather Polisky had the same problem. Iris had a problem. I mean, Iris was Miss Olympia, and she placed ninth at the Arnold because of that. So, you know, this is something that the judges and the powers that be in the IFBB do not want to promote in the women who are winning these shows.
Now, with Dina, her and I both struggle with leg development, and if you ask Dina if she squats, she will tell you she does. And if you ask me if I squat, I will tell you I squat every single workout, and I squat every single workout free weight. Feeling on leg development with both Dina and I and our structural issues.
I always say, you know, you have to deal with what you're structurally given. And, you know, I see you train hard, and I imagine Dina trains pretty hard. I've done a couple leg workouts with her in the past. And, you know, it's hard if your body's not meant to be that big, you know. And with men, it's different. With men, we could take more supplements, and we can gain a lot of weight and overcompensate for that. Whereas women, they can't do it. They do it, they're going to ruin their physique. They're going to ruin their femininity one or another. And then they're going to ruin their shape. You know, with women, shape is much, much more important than with men. Because judges like to see a lot of muscle on men. When the women start getting too big and freaky looking, they get counted down for it. So, you know, you got to deal with what you got, and you got to try to make the best of it. The fact that you and Dina are both IFBB professional bodybuilders means that you obviously have some kind of genetic superiority out there. And, you know, but when you compare yourself to Iris Kyle, you know, you see your flaws. Just like if, you know, you take a run-of-the-mill male bodybuilder who's in the professional ranks and you compare him to Ronnie Coleman, or you compare him now to, you know, Jay Cutler or something like that, you start seeing the genetic flaws. That's why some people are the best and some people are not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about the interesting placings after, you know, as you get towards the 10th place finishings, you know, with like the Maria Seguro, and then you look at where Claudia Partenza and others that were in better condition than Maria. Not that, look, it like some people will say, well, if you're out of the top five, it really doesn't matter. But it kind of does, because I was a 12th place finisher, and I felt that I finished, yeah, it wasn't great, but I felt like maybe a person or two before me was in not as in good a condition. So what's the deal? How did you feel about that? It just felt that they maybe put them there. I mean, do you think there was... What are your feelings on that?
I don't think that the judges really spend too much time placing the, 11 through 15 girls the way they do in the 1 through 10 girls. I think that just doesn't happen. And that's just, you know, time constraints. And I think they realize that it's just not that important, you know, because they're not having any effect on Olympia qualifications or anything like that. Having said that, the 8th place finisher, Brenda Ragano, you know, could have very well have been in the top five had she been in shape.
You know,
they love her structure, but she just doesn't come in tight enough. And, you know, Jennifer Cedia, who was 9th, is a girl also who qualified for the Olympia last year. And you know what? Her conditioning wasn't much worse last night than it was when she qualified for the Olympia. So this is a girl that they had rewarded previously for that because she had such great structure. And these judges in New York then marked her down a little more heavily because her conditioning was off. So I think that they were judging more for conditioning last night, predominantly speaking. Toni Thompson looked great, you know, and she came in 10th. You know, you go to 11th place and you got Bev DiRenzo, who was in phenomenal shape, but she needed more muscle. So, what I find is from 10 on, you're seeing structural problems. Marius Maños, who was 12th, was one of the most best conditioned people in the shows.
And highly muscular, too.
Yeah, and Claudia Partenza was also probably the most conditioned person in the show from Italy, and she placed 15th, you know, and you're going to talk to a judge about that, and they're going to say we don't like her structure. So you got to say to yourself, you know, first of all, in women's bodybuilding, structure obviously is the most important. Then they go with muscle, and then they go with conditioning. So it's different than men.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Two more things, Dave, and then, you know, I know we want to wrap this up because Chrissy and I have got lots of guests to do and lots of stuff to talk about, but why not give a Best Poser Award? They did it last year. And why do away with the strength show that they had the year prior?
Well, since we were...
I know, I mean, we're part of this. Let's,
we promoted the strength show, you know what it was? They added a 202 class this year, and they made it a little, you know, more, you know, prevalent. And, you know, the time constraints and the fact that we were covering the show. And, you know, I was just so happy that we got 22 women in the show that I didn't think we needed to jazz it up with any more circus acts, any more at least than we had at the booth already with the Smalley brothers. So,
yeah. And no Best Poser?
As far as the Best Poser Award goes, I think they would have given one had someone put up the money for it. And last year we had raised a little more money for a guest Best Poser type situation. I don't know if it slipped our mind or what, but, you know, from year to year, it changes. You know, this year, we really just concentrated on getting good quality competitors. And I think that's what we pulled off. And I think that's what will be remembered about the show, not whether, you know, Debbie Bramwell or Toni Thompson got the Best Poser Award. But what will be remembered is that the lineup was deep and that we had a great overall champion. And that's what's going to make this show something that people are going to want to come to every year.
Well, since I happen to be co-owner of Species, I do feel that it doesn't even matter about the money, Dave. I think we should definitely do it just because it's a nice... Everybody loves a trophy. I hate to say that, even if you're a pro. Just to have a little something to say, you know what? We recognize that you put in a little extra effort into your posing routine. Here you go. You won Best Poser. It's just another title, and it's something you walk away with a lasting memory. You bust your ass for 16 weeks, and you bust your ass for 16 weeks, and you happen to do the best routine. Let's reward him for it.
Well, you make a lot of money, Colette. You can put the Colette Nelson Best Poser Award.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. That, you know,
out of
what?
Your bank account.
You heard it first on, you know what? I would be willing to do that. But being that I'm a cheapo, it doesn't matter. Like I said, I would come up with a nice trophy or something to give the ladies, and that doesn't really have to be money. Chrissy, come on.
She's already removed the money aspect.
I'm removing the money from the... No.
She's taking the money aspect away. No one wants a trophy. They want a
trophy.
Check.
Dave, you know that's not true. How many? I'm not even going to go there. That's another. See, the argument could start there. How many people will do a show just to get a trophy?
Yeah, well, that's the amateurs. Now the pros, they want money.
Yeah, they want money, but, you know, hey, I don't know. There's something about that little winning that best poser that just kind of sits on your right shoulder or left shoulder, whatever shoulder you like. And Dave, do you have any other thoughts? Anybody you felt that was standout or could have, you know, like possibly Diana Tinell? Did you think that something was going to happen with her? Or
no, I mean, I think there were some good competitors in the show that just didn't show up in shape. Brenda Ragano is one of them. I really like Toni Thompson. I thought she should have been a little higher. Maybe she just doesn't have enough muscle for the judge's taste. Diana Tinell is a potential star in the future if she was just not in shape. Probably the best potential that didn't do anything there was Nancy Lewis, who was making a comeback of sorts. She hadn't competed for a number of years. This is a girl who's won pro shows, been to the Olympia. She's probably got the structure to be top three at the Olympia if she can, you know, get any kind of consistency in what she does. She has flawless symmetry. Okay, she's got a tiny waist, wide shoulders. She's a great poser. I talked to her a little bit yesterday at the diner after the show, and, you know, I think she was a little upset, but, you know, I explained to her, you know, sometimes you got to rub off the rust, so to speak, and she's got to get her conditioning down a little pat. I hope she listens to my advice and does the Tampa show, because I think she could win if she does come in shape.
Well, with that said, we're having Nancy on the show today, Chrissy, so we'll have her
wonderful,
thoughts.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. People are dying to hear from Nancy because, again, she disappeared in 2004. We're gonna hear why, and we're going to talk about her comeback, and we'll see what her plans are for 2009. Dave, thank you so much for your time. And
yeah, thanks, Dave.
Your insights were great, and, you know, we would love to have you do this again, maybe for the Tampa and the Atlantic City.
Sounds good, guys.
Wonderful.
Doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, Chrissy, on that note, let's take 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Muscle Girls, Inc. ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hello, this is Sandy Williamson, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Our first guest turned pro in 2007 at the Masters Nationals and was on the Olympia stage in 2008. She started competing in 1997 to step out of her comfort zone and stage fright. She is now one of the most dynamic female bodybuilders, both on and off the stage. She is known for her ability to motivate and spread positive energy to all that know her. We are talking about none other than Debbie Bromwell. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Well, thank you for having me, Chrissy and Colette.
Well, we're so psyched. You turned pro in 2007 at the Masters Nationals. I was there. I remember that whole thing. And I remember seeing you, Debbie, too, like years before. I know you and I would talk. We're like, God, you're so close. You know what I mean? We were like, oh. So you spend like, it was, am I right, Debbie? You started like in 1996, 97, that area around there competing?
I started competing in 1997, but it was just for fun of it. I didn't even think about turning pro at that point. It was just a personal goal and just to get in shape, conquer my fear of getting up in front of people, which I no longer have. So it was just for fun at that point.
I mean, so how did you get into, you know, working out, training, and then staying in it, in the game for 10 years? You kind of get it. I know I got like, you get like addicted kind of to the whole competition.
Oh my God, I absolutely love it. And originally when I started competing, it was because I had done the Tony Robbins personal power program, and people kept trying to talk me into competing, and I didn't want to do it. At that time, I didn't want to be in a little posing suit in front of people. I didn't have the confidence. But after doing the Tony Robbins program, I decided to challenge myself to conquer my fear of getting up in front of people. And I decided to, you know, improve. I wanted to improve physically, so I wanted to set that goal. So when I did my first show, I totally changed my thought process. And you know, most of us have that belief that we're not good enough and, you know, all that negative thinking. So I really changed the way I thought, and I had prepared for my first show, and I won, and it was fun, and I felt good, so I just kept doing it. And somewhere along the way, I ran into Steve Winterstrom. You guys know him. He's amazing, and he had talked me into doing my first national show in 2002 because I kept winning all the shows in California. So that's when I decided, after placing fifth in that show, I decided, okay, this is fun. I want to do this. I want to be a pro bodybuilder. So it really started in 2002.
And it hooks you. Like, once you start doing, like I remember when I did the USA's, I never even thought I would win. Once you win, you're like, oh my gosh, maybe I'm actually, because I think we all feel like that, right, Debbie? I think I felt like I was really just a shell of who you are. You never really think, am I really going to look like those girls? And then you just keep the transformation going. You're like, oh my gosh, I can really call myself a bodybuilder.
That's right. And I got lucky enough to meet the right people along the way. I've had a couple of really great coaches, and that really makes a difference when you have a good support team. And I just kept doing what I love. When you do what you love, then you can't go wrong.
Yep, so true. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Debbie, first, I got to say congratulations. You looked phenomenal in New York, and I was so happy that you
thank
scored.
Thank you.
I was telling everyone, I go, I saw Debbie at the Arnold, and she was already looking great, you know? So you have to tell me, every time I see you, you always look like you're in good shape, like great shape, I should say. So what is your secret to staying fit all the time?
Thank you. Well, actually, for me, it's diet. I actually just did my cardio. I feel great. I just did my cardio this morning. I continue to do cardio throughout the year, but the biggest part is the diet. I always eat, you know, good source of protein and every meal, and I eat my green veggies, and if I eat carbs, then it's usually, you know, I do the oatmeal. So, but I just I don't overdo it with the carbs, and as long as I get the protein and the green veggies in, and then, you know, and I treat myself when I want it, you know, but that's what the treats are. You don't do it every day. So that's the biggest part for me. You know, I know you hear somebody like Iris Kyle who does like 2 hours of cardio off season a day. I don't really do that. It's more of a diet.
You sound like that's so balanced, because you know how some people have, like, once they're done with the show, they abandon everything that it took for them to get to the show. And I always say, like, you can't really abandon that. The diet has to still be somewhat of a way of life. You can't go back.
Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I actually, you know, I enjoyed myself Saturday night and yesterday, and I knew that Monday I would get back on it. And, but a big part for me, too, is, like, you get to spruce up your food a little bit. Like, I have the same stuff, and I like all of it, but I just get to add some flavor to it.
Yeah.
and then I'm happy.
You know, Debbie, you are, like, I have to say, like, just being your friend and having you in my life, you send, like, really positive energy. You know, like, you even have, she's like, Chrissy, I'm telling you, Debbie will send you a text message when, like, maybe you're having a bad day, and all of a sudden Debbie sends you a text message, and you're like, God, I feel so much better. Like, you have, like, you know, how did you get this kind of energy? I mean, what do you attribute that to? Because it's really rare. It is rare.
Wow, thank you. And you know what? Attitude is everything, and I choose it as my biggest goal in life. I mean, I remember when I was a younger person, I wasn't confident and I wasn't happy, but I wanted to be. And so there was a seed in me to search for answers. So I started reading every book I can get my hands on, going to seminars. I mean, personal growth really became my biggest passion. And happiness became my biggest goal. A lot of people, you know, they want to have money, they want to have cars, they want to have a nice house, but they don't ever think about setting a goal to be happy. And that was my biggest goal when I was younger. So when I finally reached that place within, then that's all you have to give away. I mean, I feel like God really uses me to love other people, and I really feel like he has me on this journey for a much bigger purpose than just my own physique. And so any chance I get to love somebody, and, you know, it's a chance for me to experience joy, and that's what life's all about. And, I believe no matter what, you know, whatever situation we're in, we can always make the best of it. Mm-hmm. And, we have to have an experience anyway, so why not make it a good one? And just like today, I know today's going to be great. You know, and that's what attitude is. And it's such a great thing to hear that, you know, sending a text message to you means so much. And a lot of people don't realize that just giving a little bit, something like that, you know, goes a long way.
I just wish that more people would wake up in the morning and instead of choosing to look at their life like, oh, today sucks or this sucks.
I mean, why?
You have one way to choose. You can wake up happy or you can wake up sad. Mm-hmm. You really can make that choice.
You can. It's all a choice. Happiness is really a choice. It really is. And it doesn't have anything to do with what happens on the outside world. It's just what happens on the inside world. And when you get that in the right place, everything in the outside world is amazing. I mean, it really is. And when you truly get to the point where you love yourself and when you love God, I mean, that's all you have to give. That's all. I mean, I look through loving eyes and I treat everybody like they belong to me. And to me, that's what being spiritual is.
Right.
I don't understand, like, all the people that are religious, but they don't, you know, they judge people. You know, it's like, that's not what it's all about to me.
Exactly. I know.
You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need more Debbies, Cole.
I know. Chrissy.
We need more Debbies in this world.
We do. We do.
Aw. Thank you.
Debbie, well, we have a prep coach in common, Big Dave, and I wanted to ask what you thought about different diet approaches that you tried in the past. So how did you like Dave's diet versus a typical, let's say, carb cycling type diet?
I liked it. I am, there's so many different ways to do it, and I've done other ways that have worked, but I really felt great. I mean, once you get past that first 4 or 5 days and your brain gets into ketosis, it feels amazing. Like, it was so easy for me. I didn't have cravings. My energy wasn't up and down. And then you get that cheat meal once a week, which is, of course, wonderful.
Yes.
And I knew, I was really good about it. I mean, I knew that, you know, like some people, I guess, cheat, but you can't do that. The idea is to be in ketosis. So when you know you get that cheat meal, so it makes you be really good during the week. Mm-hmm. It just, my body really responded to it. The whole process was amazing, and I think that's what it's all about. I mean, if you're going to do it, you might as well enjoy it, and might as well be, you know, feel good. And I think the only thing that we'll do different, and you know, the first time that we really worked together, so we learned that because I was super shredded, we could have fed me more. And I think if you're not, then you can't really give somebody, because he ended up giving me some carbs, but I ended up flattening out a little bit. And if I would have went on stage like right now, that would have been great, because I look really amazing right now.
I know.
So next time we're just going to give me more food and fill me out more, and I'll be perfect.
See, I know Dave always errs on the side of caution. He would rather have you, you know, because the worst feeling is when you spill over and you're like, oh God. So I know he gets, you know, he's rather err on the side of caution that no fail, that you're going to get up on stage ripped. And you, Debbie, you looked awesome. But he said that in the wrap up. He's like, God, she has such a metabolism. And now when you work with Theo, he's like, I know what I need to do to get her right where she needs to be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's all, you know, it's all a learning experience. I mean, and plus I was shredded. So it's like, in the past, I couldn't really take in a lot of carbs, but I probably wasn't as shredded. So it depends on what condition you're in and what
totally.
You can do with that person. So if you come in shredded, you can eat more food. And I was actually a little kind of nervous backstage. I wasn't nervous. I mean, I never get nervous before going on stage, but I didn't want to eat too much.
I know,
you know that
feeling
like, you know, but I should have ate more. I should have said, you know what, I need to fill out. It's so hard to look at yourself, so.
I know.
But next time we'll get it right.
Now, Debbie, you start off, you say, you know, you got on the stage back in 1997, whatever, because you were overcoming stage fright and just being comfortable on stage. Well, Debbie, you are, you know, like I said, you remind me of me now on stage, because you're like, I love that. Don't you love, you feel alive on stage. It's like the best place in the world to be. It's like a fantasy land.
Absolutely.
How did you get over it? I mean, how did you finally, like, have the comfort level on your, you know, routines, your stage presence, the whole thing? I mean, what was this, what snapped?
Well, you know what it is. It's like how you think create how you feel. Like, I was actually helping some of the girls backstage because they were so nervous. And so I was trying to give them a pep talk, and I was trying to get them to focus on what I was saying, because they wouldn't have felt bad if they weren't thinking bad thoughts. So, I don't know, I just kind of, along the way, just said, hey, you know, this is my time to have fun. Doesn't matter what happens. Like, even if I'm off, and I know I'm off, I just say, hey, just go out and have fun. Be fun for people to watch. And so, and I used to not like doing the routines because I wasn't really good at it, but I wanted to be. So I would really spend a lot of time trying to figure out a good song, come up with good routines. And I've actually worked with different people, from a fitness competitor to male bodybuilders to you. And it's fun to work with different people because then you get different ideas instead of doing the same things. I think a lot of people just have the same style and we do the same thing every time. So I like to do something different and make it enjoyable for the audience. And I like to practice and be prepared and then just have fun.
Well, I think, I mean, I love that part of, because I think our routines as females have so much more depth than some of the men. I mean, although we can't, you know, Kai Greene, Darren Absolutely. Charles, Melvin Anthony, of course, but I mean, the women kind of, we have more, I don't know, you know what I mean? It's this flavor that we're not afraid to express ourselves a little bit more than some of the men.
I do, and I think, you know, when you spend that time, because I'm already thinking about what song I want to use for my next routine, I'm going to let you know, because you're going to help me,
cool.
But I want to be prepared, I want to practice early, you know, that way you don't stress on it, and they can have fun with it.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to think of something fun, because every time I do a show, I want to do something totally different.
Right, shock
them. I want to smile a lot. I want to smile on this routine the next time.
Right.
So I'm going to pick a fun song.
Totally, yeah.
I was thinking about that song, Miss Independent. You
right.
know that song?
Yeah. If we play with it enough, and it's finding that right version. Me and Debbie went back and forth on Chrissy. Because we found the live version of her song that she used at the show, and we were back and forth. What did we do with it? And I think that was the way to go, for sure.
Absolutely.
When you work together, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, Debbie, we talked earlier about having a support system, and I know you just recently got married, so big congratulations to you.
Thank you.
And I was wondering, you know, now that you're married, how has this changed your life? And, you know, does it help more with your contest preparation or make it harder being married?
Well, of course, when you meet the right person, it definitely changes your life. I mean, there's a peace that comes with it, knowing that you're with the right person that you could trust and somebody that really, truly cares about you. So I am just ecstatic. And I finally found my soulmate. So, of course, that you know, I'm happier. But as far as my contest preparation, I used to live by myself. So I was always able to focus and do what I had to do. And now I still do that. I mean, he's really supportive. But then now I have somebody else to think about. So mm-hmm. I think at times he wants me to do this, that, and the other thing, and I really can't. So I think for him, he wishes that I would have more time for him. So I do the best I can. I mean, I do better than most people as far as I feel good. I don't get grumpy. So he doesn't have to deal with that.
Right.
But no, I mean, I've always been able to focus, you know, and I'm with the right person that allows me to do that. We have a treadmill in our house, so that makes it easy. I set my laptop right next to it up high. And I wash stuff and I surf, and it just kind of makes it easy for me. And I actually enjoy doing my cardio, and I look forward to it.
It's a genius idea, Chrissy. Write that one down. I absolutely need a high laptop stand. It's genius.
I have a TV stand, and I have two boxes on top of it, and I have my laptop on top of that, right next to my computer. My treadmill. And I'm telling you, it makes it go by so fast when you can sit there and read and just kind of watch videos and watch Colette do her routine a million times so I can get it right.
My God. The record number of people that are doing that right now, because I'm going to set it upstairs, a makeshift, stand.
You're so right. It does make a difference. I mean, we just recently got a treadmill in this house, and it is so much easier having that.
The answer to our prayers.
I love it.
Debbie, what about children? I mean, is that an idea? It doesn't even matter if you want to physically have them, adoption, whatever. There's so many options.
We have talked about having one.
Ooh.
And I am going to be 43 in June, so I feel super young. But we actually have an appointment to go to the doctor to see. I think there's a test that you can do to find out how many eggs you have, or
how much longer
you have until menopause. Or, I'm going to find out what I can find out, and then we'll plan. If I can wait 5 years, I will.
Right.
But I gotta see. And we actually want to wait until we move close to my family, which we're going to do in the next couple of years. We'll probably end up in Phoenix. I have a sister that lives there, and my family lives in L.A. So it's good to be around them when you have a little one to help out.
Oh,
so.
Definitely.
Debbie, where are you from Cali all the way to the... You're in Alabama now, correct?
I'm in Alabama. I've been here for a year.
And what brought you to Alabama?
Experience. What's that?
And what brought you to Alabama?
Ollie actually lived here. We met in Vegas a couple years ago, and we dated long distance. And so when my lease was up, I decided to move here, and it's beautiful. I mean, I really like it. The people are nice. It's gorgeous here. The weather is a little humid in the summer, but I'm inside, so that's okay. And I really like it. It's affordable. I mean, it's so much more affordable than San Diego. So, and that's why we want to move to Phoenix, because it's a little bit more. Yeah.
Right.
Now, I want to ask a little about, Colette had told me you had a back injury, so I was wondering how that impacted your training for the show.
Yeah. Well, I actually have scoliosis. So, and my chiropractor that I was working with in San Diego said I have it in two different directions. So, because of that, my hip will go out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'll experience pinched nerves or muscle spasms. So I'm pretty lucky I don't have any disc problems, which I can only imagine it must be awful. So my back feels good for the most part, and it's actually better now than it used to be. But I definitely have to watch it. I was telling Colette the other night, I want to improve my back more than anything. I think that'll push me over the edge, but it's been a little challenging because sometimes, you know, if I don't feel right, I can't go real heavy or I can't do certain exercises. I really couldn't squat. Now I do a little bit of squatting on a Smith machine, so I just kind of work around it, and sometimes I have to go lighter or avoid certain exercises. Just pay more attention, but for the most part, I feel pretty good.
Once again, Chrissy, somebody that I sit here and squat every freaking workout, my legs are not even remotely as good as Debbie's. And she's telling me she doesn't squat.
Oh.
I can't hear this, Debbie.
Oh,
it kills me. Kills me every day.
And I really train my back hard. And it's like, I know my back needs to be a lot better. I don't know what it is.
I know. So doesn't it, isn't it amazing? It's like amazing.
It
seems
it
like,
is.
Hey, Debbie, what are you just going in there and, you know. No, I'm really going
I
in
know.
There and training my ass off. With my back, you know?
I know it.
Well,
I'm just going to keep plugging away. We both have to just keep plugging away. That's the nature of the
that's
game.
That's exactly right. If it was all there, then it wouldn't make it half the fun as the challenge all the way down the road to the journey to get to end result.
We need to be challenged, and we are.
Yes. You know, Debbie,
go ahead.
You know, I wanted to ask about some challenge that you've overcome when you were growing up. And I want to just ask, I mean, people might not know this, but how did you lose some of your hearing? I mean, I know that's a sensitive subject, but I have I talk about me being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, and it used to be something I didn't talk about, but I find it inspires people that you can do anything. It doesn't matter what might have happened.
Absolutely. I actually lost it before I was born. No, I was actually born that way, and they didn't know until kindergarten. You know, I was always so, you know, shy and quiet, and I wouldn't talk. And kindergarten, you know how you line up and you do those hearing and sight tests.
Yeah.
So that's when they found out, and I actually started wearing hearing aids in kindergarten, and I hated them. They were the big kind that you wear behind the ear, and, you know, I felt different, and I was in a regular school, and I just really hated it. So I think a lot of that, I mean, that really bothered me as a kid, and I think I had low self-esteem from that. And so I remember in junior high school, we were in gym, and we were doing gymnastics, and we would do the tumbling, and my hearing aids were flopping all over the place. I remember that day I said, I'm never wearing these again.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't. I was like, I'm not wearing them. So I didn't wear them, and I probably missed out on a lot when I was that age. And then I was married when I was 20. To somebody, and he talked me into getting hearing aids. He said his health insurance covered it, and so that's when I started wearing hearing aids again, and now it doesn't bother me. I mean, it's just, it is what it is, you know, it's no big deal.
That's exactly right.
And I think a lot of people that know somebody that's hard of hearing can tell that I am by the way I talk. other people just think it's my crazy accent.
Right. I mean, you never really, and you know what? This stuff defines who we are. I used to never tell people that, I was diagnosed with it. But it's who I am. It molded who I am and molded my character. And it becomes like...
Absolutely. People just, they think it's cool. I mean, they're like, wow, because I'm so confident and it doesn't bother me. And they just think it's really cool.
So inspiring. It really is. It's so inspiring.
Yeah.
Debbie, I want to ask, because I know you were instrumental in keeping the Tampa Bay Pro Show alive, because it was canceled and then it came back. So can you please tell us how you saved it? You're awesome.
Yay! Isn't that awesome?
You're awesome.
Well, you know, I think it started back at the Arnold when I had heard from... Somebody told me that Tim was going to cancel it, that they just didn't have the sponsors. So I remember I got home and I emailed him. And I said, well, what can I do? Is there anything I can do? And he said, well, I've been putting it off. You know, I'm supposed to, let Jim Mannion know. And I didn't want to, but I was hoping to find people to sponsor it. But I can't do it much longer because it's not fair to the girls. If it has to be canceled, they think they're doing it. So I started to make phone calls, and I was trying to, see what I could do. And he sent me an email saying, I'm sorry, I had to talk to Jim Mannion, and I told him that we just had to cancel it. So then on Sioux Country, we were all talking about it and how disappointed we were. And we just didn't want that to happen to women's bodybuilding. And it was really Ollie that said to me, well, do something about it. And at first, I was like, what am I going to do? And he said, do something about it. And he's like, well, raise the money. Talk to everybody. Just have a fundraiser.
Car wash.
Do something. Car wash. I mean, we were just thinking of everything.
Oh, God.
In our posing suits.
In our posing suits, Debbie. You'd be surprised. This could have, definitely raised some money.
So we were talking about it on Sioux Country, and I decided, I wanted to put money in, and I had gotten this money from like fans that were just being generous. So I was like, this is bodybuilding money. I'm going to put it into the fund. So I put my $250 in, and other people started putting money in, and Ari and I were putting together a letter that we were going to write to and send to like every person that has anything to do with bodybuilding, from photographers to all the bodybuilders to fans, I mean, just anybody in the industry. So we were going to send that out, and we were thinking about the t-shirts we were going to make and just coming up with these ideas. Well, Unreal Muscle, I believe it was Unreal Muscle, I'm trying to think. There was another site. I think it was unrealmuscle.com. They found out about our fund, so they started raising money. So in 10 days, I talked to Tim Gardner. I said, look, if we raise the money for next year, will you take it? So we're starting early for next year. So in 10 days, we raised $17,000, which was $5,000 over what he needed. So we let Tim know, and then Tim was like, oh, my God. And then we're like, can we use it this year? We weren't expecting this to happen. So he called Jim Mannion, and Jim Mannion said yes. And then not only did we, have... raised the money for the top three, we added money to fourth place and fifth place. So,
because Debbie,
it's crazy. It's like,
there is support for female bodybuilding. I don't care what anybody says.
$17,000. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. And I really, I don't know if you guys have seen The Secret or if you get into all that, but I was just really visualizing and this happening. I really believed we were going to get this money. I really did. And I was going to do whatever it took. I thought there was no reason why we couldn't. And so here we are, and I'm so excited that it's back on, and I wanted the girls to experience this show. I mean, it was a lot of fun last year, and I wasn't even really sure if I was going to do it. I'm definitely going to go, though, and at this point, I'm not sure if I'm doing it depending on my surgery. I'm having surgery next week, and elective surgery. I'm getting my boobs redone, so after that, hopefully I recover quick, and I can figure out what I'm going to do next, but I'm just so excited about this.
Clutch, you said it.
I know. You know how much I love boobs. over or under the muscle, Debbie?
I am going under. I have them under now.
Okay, so
I got these down in 99, and so I was a lot smaller then, and so they're small now, but I'm bigger.
So are you going to go bigger?
I'm going to go bigger, and my doctor said, the second time around, it's not so bad. The pockets are already there. You should be able to jump back in pretty quick. So I think I'm superwoman. I'm going to be able to do it. I'm going to just
I think you'll be able to.
Everything's going to go well.
Yeah. I really do.
The second time is so much easier, Debbie. Much easier, you know, much less pain.
Yes, and you know what's funny? I'm, you know, it's kind of crazy. I'm doing it in the middle of the season. Isn't that stupid? But I was thinking to myself, I want to take photos.
I know.
I want to be hot this year, hotter this year, the photos. That's why I decided to do it.
Now, Debbie, what do you
say? Stay tuned.
Yeah, definitely. We're on after surgery. So the post-surgery, how are we doing over there, Debbie? you know, Debbie, you're really active on the boards, and, you know, I always... Man, I had some experiences back in early part of my career with some of the boards, like whatever. But, and I just, you know, what do you do with the negativity? And I just hate to think that there's people behind a computer that feel like they're so empowered to say whatever they feel. And when it's negative, I just still have this thing that, like, they don't even know me. And if they're saying things about me, it just upsets me. How do you handle that? See, I handle it by just not going at it. Right.
Well, you know what? I do what I normally do. In real life, I just don't have anything to do with those kind of people. You know what I mean? I just, in the real world, I interact with and surround myself with good, positive people, and I just ignore the rest. And when it comes to the boards, you're always going to have a few bad ones. And I never take them personal, because usually when somebody's ugly like that and they're negative like that, it's because they're really unhappy. A happy, positive person would never say negative things to people.
I agree, and that's what
we have
to remember.
And so when people do that, you have to remember, never take it personal. I mean, I usually ignore it. And sometimes, you know, you know how you get your fan mail, and everybody's like, just really nice. Well, sometimes you get that hate mail, and they go out of their way to send you hate mail. That's not about me. It's about them, and it's really sad. Really, really sad. I mean, take the time to project that out. I always say that you can only give what you got in you. You know what I mean? So if somebody's giving ugliness, it's not about you, it's about them.
Like Dave always says to me, you choose to accept that into your life, you know, and you have a choice, and I have to choose not to accept, because these people, exactly what you said, they've got issues. They're the ones exerting all this negative energy. I don't need to accept it into my life, though. That's right. Yep.
I don't know if you've ever read that book, The Four Agreements, but they talk about never take things personally. Ever.
Never.
Because what somebody gives you, I give you love because that's what I have to give you. If somebody else gives you hate, that's because that's what they have to give you. Nothing to do with you.
You know, Debbie, why don't you just share that really quickly? Because I know you went to the Tony Robbins seminar and that changed your life, but just maybe like three or four good books, just, you know, that you could recommend on the sides of just positive thinking and believing and achieving.
I love to read, and I think a lot of people don't focus enough on developing themselves on the inside, which is the most important part. So for me, The Secret, I don't know if you've read The Secret or seen The Secret.
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
I love it. I highly recommend it. I think it really can shift your life. I'm definitely a huge fan of Wayne Dyer.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've read any of his books.
Oh, he's so good.
All of his books. I love Power of Intention, or The Spiritual Solution to Every Problem, Manifest Your Destiny. I mean, all his books are great. Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life. The Four Agreements, I actually have it right here. By Don Miguel Ruiz, I believe his name is. The Four Agreements was awesome. Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting by Lynn Brabhorn, an amazing book. It's a lot like The Secret. I actually read that before. I think everybody should spend that time doing that, because we spend so much time in the gym working on our bodies.
I know, your
mind.
We
need to do that. We need to work on our mind and your spirit. It's the most important part.
I told you you'd be moved by this, Chrissy. I said, Debbie will inspire. It's good.
You know, honestly, I met Debbie for the first time at the Arnold, and just talking to her, like, she's just, her eyes are just bright, and it just lights up the room, you know, just talking to her. So.
And Chrissy is the same way.
Right, Chrissy's good, too. Chrissy's definitely
positive.
Yeah, there's not one negative energy that comes out of Chrissy, not at all.
No, I just love it.
Debbie, I get to see you soon, don't I? Aren't you coming out here to Cali soon?
Yes, I am coming out on Thursday. I will be at this show. I'm bringing my pom-poms. I'm so excited. My ex-training partner and one of my best guy friends is competing. So that's one of the reasons why I was going. And then I found out Chrissy was competing, and I think Marisa is competing. So I'm going to be there with my pom-poms and cheering everybody on. And then while I'm there, that's when I'm going to get my surgery, too, afterwards. So
great.
Yes, I can't wait to see you.
Yay. So, Debbie, your surgery is next week, so good luck with your surgery. But please
let us
know, what are your goals for 2009, both on the stage and off?
Well, after my surgery, I mean, I'd like to do either the Tampa or the Atlantic City show. You know, if I had to pick, I would love to do Tampa. I really liked it. It's just, the show was well run, and, you know, it's just a lot easier to get to. Like, Atlantic City, it's like, yeah, drive an hour to get to the hotel, and it was not as organized. But anyway, so I'd like to do one of those two to try to qualify. I just missed it this time, and
wonder,
I think we
I
can
know.
Bring me in better next time. And I actually emailed them to find out if the fourth place slot gets qualified, because somebody told me to email him. But he said if the top three had already been qualified, then the fourth would have been.
Yep, I asked that. I know Debbie is so close. It sucks.
I was like,
I know.
No, and I don't know. I mean, I was a little bit. I'm confused about the judging.
It was a little really odd. I got to tell you. I know it's New York, though. Always.
And the reason why I feel that way, it's nothing personal, but I thought that they wanted to streamline. I thought they wanted us women to just kind of tone it down, and so. And you know what's funny? I actually compete lighter as a pro than I did as a national competitor. I compete like 5 pounds lighter, but better.
Right,
you know?
But better.
Like,
oh yeah.
Bigger is not better, and I thought that's what they wanted. They're trying to save the sport. Kathy Priest was amazing.
My God.
Definitely, she just came in perfect. I mean, her conditioning, her hardness, her fullness, it's just, and she poses beautiful. She's just beautiful. I love her. And the other two, I mean, I just a little confusing. I love them both, but I just, you know what I mean? I don't understand the judging.
It's just different shows for different folks. That's what I always say, because New York's always throws loopholes and every, you know. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, Debbie,
I could have came in fuller, but I still
don't know if that would have mattered. I don't know if that would have mattered in New York. It's hard to say.
It's okay.
But you know what, Debbie, I'm going to tell you something. You know, Chrissy recently had her boobs done, and I've also had a second surgery, and I'm telling you, I have to tell you, you will be ready. I'm telling you, you'll be back in the gym doing cardio in like 2 days, 3 days. I think you'll be surprised how quickly you'll come back. I'm just going to tell you.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about that.
I'm telling you.
It's so, man, I feel so good. I mean, the hardest part for me for this show was Friday, just making myself sit there and lay there. Because I felt so good, I wanted to go do something.
Right.
Most people want to sleep, and I was like, I'm not tired.
Well, Debbie, how are people going to get in touch with you? I know you have your website, www.debbie-bramwell.com. Is that right?
It sure is, absolutely.
And you can, your email's right through there. They can easily get in touch with you via your website.
They can email me through my website. I would love to hear from anybody. I'm there for anybody. That's what it's all about.
And you're on the boards. You have, is it just your name, Debbie Bramwell, on the boards, right? Like, they know who you are.
Debbie Bramwell. Yes, and my favorite board, of course, is rxmuscle.com.
There's my girl. There's our girl.
I love it because, and the reason why is because, you know, they really support us women. There's no negativity towards the women. I had, you know, bad experiences at MD. I'm sorry, MD. But they're not supportive of the women.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's true.
And Dave, I just absolutely have so much love and respect for him. And I want to really be behind him. And I want to get the girl to help me be behind him so we can, you know, continue.
The sport is alive.
I chose to keep the sport alive.
Totally
and
alive.
I think he's really somebody that wants to be there for us. And I want to give a shout out to Dave. Thank you.
Awesome.
I love you.
Debbie, we love you. And I mean, we really definitely want to have you back on. So, Debbie, we want to have you back on as the overall winner at the Tampa. we dream big over here at the at Muscle Girls Inc., right, Chrissy?
I would love it.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. It would be awesome.
I would love it.
Debbie, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the week. I know you're back on the ball. And will you send me a text message. Let me know how everything goes over there in California.
I will. And Chrissy, hang in there. You're almost there. I'm sure you look great. I can't wait to see you. You're going to do well at the show. Yay.
Thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that.
All right, baby. We love you. We love you.
Thank you.
Love you
too, guys.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Gina Aliotti, IFBB Figure Pro, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Our next guest turned pro in 1988. That's over 20 years ago. She has seen the good, the bad, and the ugly side of female bodybuilding. She is known for her 24-inch waist, incredible structure that every bodybuilder can appreciate. This athlete isn't afraid to speak her mind, even when it comes to her retirement from competitive bodybuilding. Putting the past behind her, she decided to make her comeback at this past New York Pro 2009. Muscle Girls, Inc. welcomes the notorious Nancy Lewis.
Yay!
All right.
Hey, Nancy.
I mean, Nancy, people have been dying for you on the show. They really want to hear what you have to say. It's so funny. Like, when are you going to have Nancy Lewis on the show?
that's really wonderful to hear.
People love you. That's why.
You know, I would never have, thought that. So it's, Colette, it's really nice to hear that, people know who I am, or they follow me in the magazines and they appreciate, what I do or what I've done. So it's nice.
It does feel good because you sometimes think you're doing this and you put your whole life and soul into this and you feel like, does even anybody care?
Yeah.
But they definitely do. So speaking of your career, you retire. Okay, you start competing. I can't even believe that you've been competing since 1988. Did I get that right? That was like your first?
You know what? It's, I've been competing a while, and, I turned pro in 91 with the USA.
Right.
So before that, I was competing probably for a couple of years before I qualified to do the USA. Yeah, because I won the Cal, the heavyweight Cal. My weight class.
And Nancy, you still look like you're 29.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is
a very good thing.
What are you, 29? Yeah, still 29.
No, I'm blessed that I still, I'm older, but I still look
awesome.
I'll say I still look young.
Right, you definitely do. So
yeah.
you retire in 2004, okay? You we'll talk a little bit about that. But then you decide to return to the New York Pro in 2009. I mean, why come back? Why? What got the bug again to compete?
Well, the bug was never really gone. I think with some of the things that were happening in the sport, I was extremely disappointed. And at that point in time, and I'm really disappointed in something, or I see that something's not changing. You know, it's like, okay, so, you know, I really need to start doing something else or look at other avenues. But it never really went away. And, you know, there are other things going on in my life. And you and I both know that when you're competing, you really have to be on solid ground and you have to be balanced. And when your life is out of balance and everything is in disarray, you have to do whatever you can to get that balance back. And... you know, coming back to California from, you know, from Florida and getting settled again and getting my head in the right direction. You know, there was a young man in the gym that had followed my career, and his name was, you know, Doug. And he would always say, you know what, you know, it would really be great to see you compete back on the stage. And this went on for a year. And I'm like, there's just no, you know, I'm just not going to do that. It takes a lot, you know, it takes a lot of time. You know, it takes finances and you know, you got to look for a sponsor if you can find a sponsor and so on and so forth. And so it finally came to that day that I said, you know what, I would really like to compete again. And honestly, you know, Colette, I haven't done what I wanted to do in the sport. You know, I left the sport on a roll. You know, 2004, you know, did very well at the Jantana. I mean, 2002, very well at the Jantana, 2004 at the GNC, and, you know, went out with a nice placing in the Miss O. So, you know, for me, that was just the tip of the iceberg as far as conditioning, because that has always been a challenge to me. And I felt that I really had the right combination, and unfortunately I had an injury after that, which was part of the reason that I couldn't do anything for, you know, a couple of years. But the bug was never gone, more so, a disappointment.
And you never stop training. That's what people don't understand. If you say you're going to retire, I think it doesn't matter. If I say I took years off, we love the gym. I can't even imagine you not being in there and still training like you train like a bodybuilder.
You know, I still trained. I still trained. I've been athletic since I was 11. I've been a competitive athlete since the age of 11. So, you know, you're looking at 11 to, you know, now I'm...
What sport, Nancy? What sport was that?
I started in track and field.
Yeah, you look like a track. I could see you doing that.
Yeah, I started in track and field at the 220 and the 440.
Wow. That's why she got those legs.
So, yeah, I never stopped training. I never stopped doing that. And... I just really needed to get myself personally back together again and on solid ground.
Yep.
And I came there because I love the sport, and I think that I still have a lot to offer the sport.
You definitely do. You're not done yet.
No. And I think that for the people that are close to me who don't hold any punches, if they said, you know, if they thought, you know, that, you know, Nancy, your time is gone, you know, really need to really, really pack up your belt this time.
Right.
Then they would be forthright, and they would tell me.
Smoke blowers. We don't like smoke blowers.
Yeah. I feel in my heart that I have still a lot to offer, that I'm not at my best, that I am better than my past performance.
Nancy, this past weekend, you placed 14th, and I honestly thought you were going to place higher than that, and I'm amazed that your waist is so teeny tiny. But I wanted to know how you felt about coming back, you know, after a little time off and placing 14th.
You know, it's disappointing. It's disappointing to me as an athlete, because when I left California going to the show, I was very pleased with the condition of my upper body. I was not pleased with the condition of my lower body. And I had spoke with, you know, Tyler, the guy that I've been working with, and we both knew that I was going to be off. I didn't think that I was going to be that off. And so, you know, for me, I really see that there are some things that I really need to tweak, some things that I really need to go back to the drawing board and be on top of. 14th, you know, I thought I would have placed higher too. I appreciate that, you know, the judges, after so long, you know, looked at me, that they gave me the 14th spot.
Mm-hmm. But do you think they were harder on you, though, Nancy? Do you think they were like, you know what, she's going to come out of retirement, we want her to be your best? You know, sometimes they really put pressure on their own minds, like, look, man, this girl's good. If she had come in, you know, ripped and hard, we wanted to give her. I sometimes think that they do want to, and then they get really hard on you. Then like, gosh, you know, it's weird, you know.
Yeah, you know, Colette, in all honesty, for me, my intention of going into the show is, you know what, I went out in 204, I was in good condition. This is the same condition that I have to come back in. And that was my intention.
Right.
To come into the same condition that I went out in. And I really did not want to give the judges any reason not to say, okay, you know what? it's her and everybody else.
Right.
It didn't work. You know, it didn't work out that way. And I think too, you know, from long standing, you know, the judges want to see me in that condition.
They do. They remember
that. And
because
they know that I can achieve that condition,
mm-hmm.
and I can achieve that condition too. It didn't work this time. It you know, it did not come together for me this time. So disappointed in myself, yes. Do I think that they were maybe a little hard on me? I don't know. But I also thought that, you know, maybe, you know, now I'm not in the best condition, but maybe my structure will carry me a little bit.
So when you go and you get ready for the show, do you say, I'm going to follow? I mean, I don't know. I'm the worst at journaling. So I got to tell you, I've got to be one of the worst. I'm like very instinctive with a lot of things. But do you go back and say, okay, I remember what I did when I was getting ready in 04. Or do you say, you know what, I'm going to try something different? I mean, where is your mindset? Okay, I'm here 16 weeks out. This is exactly what I'm going to do. Or did you were you trying to be more instinctual and try something different? What was your plan for preparing for the show?
I'm very methodical. So I actually have records of all the shows that I've done and everything that I've done. So I know what has worked for me in the past. And, you know, 4 years later, the body changes a lot. And, you know, when you haven't done a contest diet, you know, it's like your body is saying, okay, so what are you doing? Well, and I'm saying to my body, you need to do this. And you need to do this now because we're getting back in contest mode and I need you to perform for me. I mean, it all has to be on one plane. And for me, like I said, I followed the same thing that I did for the 2004, which now looking back at it, 2004, totally different person, totally different physique. I didn't have those 4 years on me. And I'm asking my body to go back to that time and do the same thing. So that, for me, maybe that was a factor. Maybe it was, you know, it wasn't. Some things definitely need to be changed from the contest prep of 2004 to the current. And to answer your question, I went with the same contest prep as far as how I'm training. Yes, the nutrition was a little different. The supplementation as far as the vitamins, proteins and things of that nature, they were a little different too. But the training is always consistent from, you know, contest prep to contest prep.
So what's your training style then? What how do you like to train?
You know, I keep it, you know, simple, stupid. And I train heavy. You know, I train heavy, not extremely heavy where I can't get at least 8 to 10 reps. But I'm very consistent in my
body
training.
Part a day kind of thing? Or
usually, too, if it's, you know, chest, sometimes it's just chest and shoulders. You know, I always train legs by themselves. I rarely break up legs. But I haven't had the opportunity, Colette, to look at the pictures online, and I'll probably look at them in a couple of days.
Muscle, our guys all got the photos tagged. They're up on there.
I know.
Lightning fast.
I've gotten emails that they are up. So I haven't, you know, I'm just not ready to look at them yet.
Yeah,
I, you know, maybe after looking at, definitely looking at the backside, that will, you know, that I will change my training and say, you know what, I really need to focus on that glute hamstring tie-in, and that really needs to come in. Those glutes need to be striated, and whatever it takes for me to get that, that's what needs to be done.
Gotcha.
Nancy, let's talk about your nutrition for your contest prep a little bit. Do you do carbs or you do no carbs?
I do minimal carbs. So I don't cut out, I never cut out all my carbohydrates.
Nance, what was your typical carb sources that you kind of rely on then for prep? Are you more like fat protein?
You know, protein, of course, is, you know, chicken and fish. And then for the carbohydrates, you're looking at brown rice, potatoes, sometimes yams.
I mean, but how many grams a day do you think you get of carbs when you're dieting? Or does it change day to day?
They change day to day. And it really depends on the way that I'm looking. And, you know, most people, Colette, they work with someone. And so I usually sit down with my nutritionist, and we meet, you know, once a week. And as it gets closer, it's definitely more than once a week. And I tell him, you know what, this isn't working for me, or, you know, this is what I'm seeing. This is where I need to be to feel comfortable in going into the show. You know, my legs need to be in this condition at this point in time. And for some people, you know, they don't do things that way, or they think that causes too much stress. But if I ask myself to do something, I expect it to be done. And if I ask my body to perform or say, you know, this is what I need from you, I expect it to be given to me. And, it, you know, like I said, I expected my legs to come in, and definitely the glute hamstrings to come in, you know, at least 3 weeks out, and that wasn't happening. So we did change things in my program nutritional wise, supplementation wise, and it still didn't happen. So that's something that I have to address, because I understand now that looking at the other women, all of them had a really good glute hamstring tie in, and the glutes were separated.
Yeah,
and
it's
the hamstrings
crazy
are
right
separated.
Now. Like, you have got to be retarded. That's like the kind of the look that they want. Like, that's
right. And that's, you know, and
so
you know,
what
for
you weigh?
My last shows.
Yeah, what I gotta ask you something. So you. I kind of go by my weight, because I usually have still been pretty consistent the past few years. Like, I need to really weigh 144, 145. So when I'm like 149, like I was last year, I kind of know I'm a little. What did you weigh like in 04? And then what did you weigh this time? Just got to ask.
You know, in 04, I believe I came into that show at about 138.
Okay, so what were you here?
And at that, you know, at this show, they didn't weigh us.
Did you know, though, going into it? Or
you know, I had my own scale, and that morning I was 136.
And, so right, so you were where you kind of thought you needed to be in terms of weight, more or less, right?
Yeah, I was where I, you know, like I said, I was really happy with the, you know, the upper body, the way it came in. I really liked, you know, the improvements that I had made in the back area and the abdominal area. So I was really, I was, like I said, I was pleased with the upper body. I just was not pleased with the way the lower body came in. And, you know, Colette, that's something that I really have to address, because I have to go back to the drawing board and figure out, okay, this is what I did. I did this, I did this, I did this. Okay, why didn't this come in the way that I needed it to come in? And, you know, if I look back at 04, you know, everything was there, and it came in really, really well. So those are things that I really need to address, and like I said, before I step, you know, back on stage, that will definitely be corrected.
Gotcha. Good. I mean, Nancy, come on, man. They, I know you can do it, and you know you can do it. I still never forget seeing you at, because it must have been 04 when you did, I remember seeing you walking through the gym at in Vegas. Yeah, that must have been it when you played sports. Because I remember seeing you, you were retarded looking. Retarded, that tiny waist. It was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and so that's, like I said, you know, Colette, that's why it's disappointing to me, because I know that I'm capable of achieving that condition.
So
and,
you know you can
some
do
people,
it. Yep.
You know, some people have said to me, you know what, Nancy, you've been gone for 4 years. You know, things change, you change, and it's going to take some time for you to get back in the swing and for your body to get back to contest prep and everything that it needs to do. Well, that's fine and dandy. That's for, you know, maybe for somebody else. But for me, you know, and I appreciate that and I understand that. You know, they're like, maybe you're, you know, you're a little rusty or you're off. Definitely off. But I expected my body to produce what I needed it to do.
Right.
So, and that's, like I said, in that sense, you know, I have high expectations. And in that sense, that's where the disappointment is.
Yeah.
You know, but I accept it. You know, and for me, you know, that day is gone. I need to focus on, okay, am I going to do this show? Am I going to do that show? And if that's going to be it, this is what has to happen. And this is what needs to be changed. And we need to go, you know, full speed ahead and make sure that happens.
Right, exactly.
Well, Nancy, let's go back a little bit. So in Gentana, you win in 2002, and then also the GNC Show of Strength in 2004, and then you retire in 2004. So what was going through your mind at the time? And then you also sustained an injury, correct, at that time?
Yeah.
Go back to 2004. Go back to your frustrations. Go back to tell us about this injury, too, because I didn't remember that it was that I knew it was your knee, but give us the whole... kind of
well, you know, I had just come off the Olympia, you know, 2004, and I placed fourth. So I was really happy with that, and I was deciding if I was going to do the Arnold or not. And, you know, at that time, I was living in Florida, and I remember going to the feed store, and I had gotten maybe like 5 or 6 bales of hay. You know, in Florida, you know, it can be sunny and warm 1 minute and raining the next.
Now, Nancy, tell us why you were getting hay. Let's talk about these animals. Just digress for 2 seconds, because people need to know about this animal love fetish that you've got over there.
Now, it's not a fetish.
It's a true love, actually.
It really is a true love. I mean, for me, you know, my babies, they somewhat keep me balanced, because... you know, when I come home or when I travel, sometimes they come with me, the dogs come with me, but they're so unconditional.
Yeah.
And I've had them for, my 2 dogs I've had for almost 7 or 8 years. My cats, I just got a couple of cats that I was fostering and I didn't take them back to the shelter, so I decided to adopt them.
How many do you have of those? 2?
I have 6. I started with a sphinx.
I love
because I always wanted a sphinx.
6 cats, Chrissy.
She's a full house.
She's an animal lover.
Yeah, and then my Sphinx was lonely, so I got, a tortie. And then a polydactyl came, and then the other three came. But that's it. That's it.
Right,
and then I had a horse.
Right.
Yeah. So, I've always had animals, and I really, love them.
And you had a horse. This is what we...
I still have my horse, yeah.
Still, wow.
Yeah. I had horses back in Florida, and one I actually sold to a young lady in Canada, and the other one... he went to a really, really nice rescue, and I kept the one that I've always had since I started riding. So I was buying hay for them, and it started really, really raining, and I was unloading it from the truck. Me and my partner at that time were unloading, and I can't remember how it happened, but I slipped and I twisted my knee. And it swelled automatically, and I said, oh, great, a sprained knee. So immediately I got off of it, and I iced it. And so for a couple of days it was swollen. The swelling started to go down, and I was hobbling along, and I'm like, okay, well, this is getting better. Still swollen, but it's getting better. And, 1 month turned into 2 months, and my partner was like, you really need to go to the doctor. I'm like, this is just swollen. I can walk on it. And I was actually going into the gym. I could not extend it. But as far as, doing cardio and things of that nature, I could. And so after a while, this was probably before Christmas, she was like, you really need to go into the gym. I mean, not to the gym, but you need to go to the doctor because, if it's a sprained knee, it should have gone down by now. So when I went in there, the doctor took the x-rays, and he says, how long has it been like this? And I told him, and he says, and you're walking on it? And I said, yeah. And he says, is it sore? And I said, no, it doesn't hurt at all. I said, I just can't extend it. I can't do leg extensions, and I don't know why, because if it's a sprained knee. And he says, well, it's not a sprained knee. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he says, you've torn the patella, and you've also torn the tendon, and you've also torn some of the muscle.
Wow.
And he says, but the good thing about it is that it's a clean tear, and we can repair it. And he says, but the other part is that it's really atrophied and, it's halfway up your thigh.
Wow.
So I said, well, okay, well, can you fix it? And he says, yes, I can fix it. And I said, so after you fix it, will I be 100%? He says, yes, you should be 100%. So after I had, he says, but you need to get in here immediately. And probably within that next week, I had the surgery, went through the physical therapy, and he told me that it would probably be about a year, maybe a little more, for me to fully recover. And, I have the nodules in my knee. And that was a scary thing for me, Colette, because I've never had an injury.
Right.
And it was like, okay, is this really, if I get under a squat rack or, if I get under leg press.
And were you squatting with this thing before you got the surgery?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so you
But
were,
after
right.
everything was healed,
yeah.
It was like, okay, is this really, he's telling me I'm going to be 100%.
Is he really for real, yeah.
Yeah, is this really going to hold up? I have this twine in my knee,
mm-hmm.
Holding everything together, is this really going to hold?
So
there
was
that fear too.
Yeah, how does it feel now?
It feels good. It's about time for me to go back to the physician and make sure everything is as it should be.
Right.
But it did hold for the training here, prepping for this show. So that was always a fear also, that it may come apart, under stress.
Right.
Because when you're doing contest prep, you're asking your body to do a lot.
Yeah.
So that was, that was the injury that really got me depressed, missed the Arnold, and I felt that I was on a roll at that time. And the roll just stopped.
All right. And then, Nancy, you're kind of frustrated. You've got this injury. What do? You've been on a roll. Then you write this letter. You write this resignation letter to the IFBB. You're frustrated, and believe me, you're not alone, because a lot of us are frustrated and still frustrated, and we talk a lot about it on this show. So but why write the letter? Why write the letter? Because when you write, like we said, the spoken word and the written word,
right.
Two different things. And then you just kind of put it out there because you had the balls to do it. No one ever does. People do admire you for having a voice. But talk to me. Like, what prompted you to say, I got to tell you how I feel.
Well, Colette, you're a professional woman. I'm a professional woman. We've both, I've had a business before. You have a business. And, in any sport, I think there's a certain amount of professionalism that you need to have for your partners. male, female, whoever that may be, whether you admire what they do, respect or disrespect what they do, there needs to be, you know, appreciation. And that letter, for me, I think I opened up a muscle mag or a magazine, and I seen a derogatory statement about female bodybuilding, coming from someone, you know, who I actually respect and I really like. And I thought that was unacceptable to me. And so it really frustrated me, because we as female bodybuilders, we always struggle. We've always struggled. And, you know, that was kind of like a sock in the belly.
Right. Like, you feel like if you're not respected in your own community,
right,
who else is going to respect you?
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, and so you're looking at something that's going to be printed worldwide. And, you know, people, you know, for someone who doesn't really know anything about the sport, or, you know, they may follow the sport and they may say, oh, you know, oh, those female bodybuilders, oh, well. And then you read something and it's like, oh, well, this guy said it, and wow, okay. Well, then it really must be like that. That must be the way that they really feel. That really, it angered me, and it really, really disappointed me that it would come from someone that kind of was like my left hand, so to speak. You know, because when I look at the men, you know, even though we're separate, we do separate shows, they are, you know, left to the women. We're all in the same organization. We all are striving for the same thing, for those good contracts, for the exposure, to make a living out of this sport. That's what we're all striving for. Whether we get that or not.
Do you remember what that trigger was? What was said again? Do you remember? Because I'm trying to remember.
It was something about, you know, female, you know, they look like, it was something to the point that they look like men, or they shouldn't even be on the stage. They should just do away with female bodybuilding.
Okay.
And that, like I said, for, you know, if it would have come from, you know, someone like on the blog or on the board or something,
right,
totally different. But that really disappointed me. And I felt that, you know, that needed to be addressed. You know, it really needed to be addressed. And I also strongly felt that there were a lot of other women bodybuilders that felt the same way, and maybe they didn't want to say anything. So I said it.
Right.
And, you know, it's, if you can't be forthright and say, you know, this is how I feel about this, this needs to be resolved. And it wasn't meant to offend anyone. It was just meant to bring it to the attention. That's not cool. You know, that's something that you don't do. You have your opinion, you know, and if you feel that way, because it's a sport where we're all one and the same, we're supposed to be, you know, you never disrespect your counterparts.
And then
that's kind of like the general rule. Even in tennis, I don't think you would ever, you know, even in tennis you wouldn't. I don't think that there's any other sport that I've ever read anything about that.
Right.
You know, the men may not like the women, but you're never going to read it in print.
And I think like a part of I was reading the letter again. Just your overall frustration, too, the fact that we are still, because we talked to Linda Murray and even Kim Chavesky back in the day. They were making a living off of being a female bodybuilder. I cannot quote this, but I remember talking to Linda like at one of these shows, and she was making six figures as a female bodybuilder, just from her endorsements, her prize money. I mean, she was making a true living, and Linda was competing again, you know, when she had her come, she couldn't even, wasn't the same. I mean, women were doing better 15 years ago as a competitive female bodybuilder than they are now.
Right.
Which is, unusual, considering everything is inflated, and the women are just went and kind of retrospect here and went kind of backward. Didn't even go backward, just kind of got worse.
Right. When you look at it from a business perspective, and if you're in bodybuilding and you want to make money and you are the product that you're selling, you have to be promotable to the main public, because bodybuilding is such a small little realm.
Right.
You have to think outside the realm and say, okay, this is what I'm up against. This is what I know the general public, you know, doesn't really like. How can I promote myself so that I can be outside of everybody else and cross that line? And that's what really needs to happen. Do I think that female bodybuilders are promotable? I do think that they are promotable. But I think that you really have to tap into that market to make yourself promotable. And as professional athletes, you should be able to make money at your sport and live not a wealthy, extravagant life, but be able to pay your bills and feed yourself.
I know these are the questions that we all keep asking. As a professional athlete, things are missing as a group, as a whole, not just men and women, like health insurance and just...
Right. You know. But that's something that needs to be... I mean, you know, you and I, you know, we've talked several times, and we've talked about, you know, getting together with the female bodybuilders and the IFBB in general and saying, you know, what can be done. And that's something that you have to do, and you can't just say you're going to do it and then drop the ball, you know, let the ball bounce away. It's something right. that you really need to be... you need to persevere, and it needs to be done, and you need to say, you know, this is what we're looking at. This is what, you know, we would like to see happen. What can we do to make this happen? And it can't just be the female bodybuilders. It has to be the male bodybuilders, too. But on the flip side, if you have people who are making money in the sport, you know, they, you know, those are the people that you have to say, yes, you know, I make money at this, but, you know, I want to see John and I want to see Colette and I want to see Nancy be able to make the same amount of money, say, have the same opportunities that I do. In every sport, there's always going to be that number one person that you're yes. always going to strive to be.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But, you know, there's other people in the sport, too, that can make just as good of money. Maybe they don't, maybe they get second, third, or fourth, but they have a way to promote themselves where they can, you know, pay their bills or when the telephone bill comes. You know, they don't have that 15-day notice that says, you know, if you don't pay $100, it's going to be, you know, cut off. They have the means to pay their bills, and that's what being a professional athlete, that's part of being a professional athlete, that you're doing this because you love the sport, that you get paid for being doing what you do because you're good at it. Because there's not a lot of professional, you know, bodybuilders. How many women and how many men can actually do this diet and put the stress on their physiques for several years and be successful at it? There's not a lot.
No, there's not. Mm-hmm. The numbers are very small. I mean,
yeah,
the percentile of this, you know, just the United States alone. I mean, we're not talking more than probably 100 women.
Right, and you're talking about world, you know, worldwide. It's the IFBB, the International Federation yeah. of Bodybuilding.
I mean, what do you think about
not,
the women?
Not a lot.
Like, okay, here we are in a sport where we really can't make enough money off the prize money, and the supplement companies, you know, they are getting better. And
right.
bringing in more female bodybuilders, which is so exciting, and I hope that this is a continued trend. But, I mean, what do you think about the women saying, you know what, the best way for me to make money is to go the road, I don't know, the more seedier kind of pornographic road, and what do you say to that? I mean, the women that say, that are now, I mean, because there's a lot of female bodybuilders that have fetish-type sites and make money, I guess, I don't even want to say the word porn, but, I mean... And using that type of sexuality as a form of making money as a female bodybuilder, because there is a definite fan base out there.
Right, there is a fan base, and you know, Colette, I am not one to say, oh no, they shouldn't do that. I think that's wrong. Would I do that? No, I don't think that's something that I would do.
Because you've always had a really good image. I think.
That's not something that I would do. But I, like I said, you got to eat and you got to feed yourself.
Right.
Those are the main things you have. You need shelter. You need food, and you need money to make sure those things happen. So if this is something that you actually enjoy doing, then, you know, I have nothing to say, you know, about that. I shouldn't tell you what you should and shouldn't do if I'm not paying your bills.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so I can't go out and say to this, you know, this woman, let's say, let's just throw Connie out there. I can't say to Connie, you know, that is so disgusting what you're doing. You shouldn't do that because blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not going to say. I'm not paying her bills. You know, I'm not the one that when the bills come, you know, I'm not the one worrying about them. You know, so if this is what she does to pay her bills or if this is what she enjoys doing, I can't say anything, you know, about that. So I don't really have, I'm not yay or nay. I'm right in the middle on that. You know, do I think it's wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong if it's something that you need to do. If you don't have a contract and you're not making $100,000 a year, and if you're doing it specifically so that you can, you know, pay your bills and continue to do the sport, and this is the way that you see that, you know, it's something that doesn't bother you, that you're okay with it, and, you know, in the morning when you wake up, you're like, you know what, I'm okay with the decisions that I've made, mm-hmm. then I respect you for that.
I totally agree, because I don't judge anybody. Listen, I mean, I see a lot of stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff. I live in a crazy life.
Right.
The only thing that really, and I got to say this, because, I mean, people that know me, I'm I do sites that are pornographic. I actually am a webmaster, and I because you know what? Hey, it's a personal choice. It's my job, and if that's the site I want, so I have absolutely couldn't. It doesn't matter. But here's what I'm just going to give you a personal experience. I'm at the gym, and I've got a mother and daughter, and they say, "Oh, Colette, I'd love to look at your website." Whatever. They go search female bodybuilding. This is what upsets me. This is the only thing that upsets me. I'm gonna say it, and I could get mad. People get mad at me, whatever. And they say, "Colette, I couldn't believe it. I was searching for female bodybuilders to try and find your site to show my daughter, and what came up was horrifying." And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? Horrifying in the fact that they were seeing naked women all over the place when they searched female bodybuilding." And that's what I just was like, "Oh, it's not what you think." You know, she's like, "Well, I don't understand why all these women are doing this." And this was a mother sitting down with her 7-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. Was just trying to see the sport as something so exciting, and all they saw were pornographic sites of female bodybuilders. And it, you know, and that's what hurt me. And I felt like, God, sometimes I feel like that's what sometimes hurts the sport. And it, hey, I'm all about everything. And then you want to say, but you don't understand, it's such a beautiful thing. And working out with weights gives you, and you start with that whole thing. And these women just choose to do what they want to do. And it just seems so sad that when you go on the internet and you search female bodybuilding, that half the sites are coming up, you know, that you couldn't show a 7-year-old.
Right. But, you know, if you flip the switch, you know, porn sells. It always has and it always will. Now, does it belong in bodybuilding? Who's to say? But when you have, you know, I don't believe at this point in time, when you look at the articles in what should and shouldn't be done in, you know, bodybuilding in general, there are no articles for that. And, you know, if that's something that the IFBB wants to stop, and if they, you know, and if female bodybuilders want to stop that and say, you know, this is something that I don't think it should be in our sport. It doesn't give us a good image. We're trying to promote our sport. We're trying to get more sponsors in our sport. We're trying to make a living out of our sport without trying to do this. We need to come up with some changes so that, and this is only if these, you know, the women who are doing this because they need to make a living.
Right. And
some women, like I said, some women, you know, enjoy pornography, and that's
they
fine.
They do.
You know, but if you're talking to these women, they're saying, you know what, I'm doing this because I got to eat. I got to pay my bills. And bodybuilding is not kicking it for me. You know, I get what? If I'm not in the top three, I come home with nothing. In addition to that, I have to pay my hotel and I have to pay my airfare and everything else.
Right.
Okay, so when I do this pornography, okay, I have Joe Blow, you know, paying me $500 or $1,000, you know, for just looking at my site or, you know, doing a session or whatever that is. So, you know, I'm getting my bills paid, and until you can come up with something else, then you don't need to talk to me.
Right? No, it's true.
And that would be my attitude. You know, okay, I'm doing this because I need to. So if you can give me another way. Or if you can up this prize money, or if you can get me a contract, then I'm all for it. But until you can do that, you don't need to talk to me about how I live my life or how I'm paying my bills, unless you're going to pay my bills for me.
It's a good perspective, I know. It's definitely.
Yeah, and that would be, and that would be the perspective. So that means, you know, since you bring that up, Nicole, that means that you need to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, and it has to be a whole. It can't
be. How do you elevate the sport to a point where the women don't even feel... Like you said, that hey, if you like to do it and that's all cool, but if you're doing it for the other reasons, like God, I just like you said, I gotta eat, I gotta do what I gotta do.
Mm-hmm. Right, you and I don't know why, you know, people do what they do unless you ask them. Right. They say, you know, I really enjoy doing this. I enjoy it.
Liberating, and it's freeing. And if they, it makes it. It's all about what makes you feel good, and if it makes you feel good, that's great. It's just if you have the other reasons.
So those are things that, you know, you have to go back to the drawing board, and you have to say, okay. Now, as a sport, as, you know, female bodybuilders, is it something that we need to address? Is it something that we want to have out there? Is this the way that we want to be viewed? So you have to decide that. And then once you decide that, it has to be a collective decision, and it has to be, okay, no, we don't want this. And for those women who do this, you know, they'll be fined, or, you know, they'll be suspended. But on the flip side, you have to give them other options. You have to say, okay, well, the prize money is up now. I can go do a tour in Europe. We don't have any tours in Europe like we used to.
Can you imagine if we did Europe? We were so loved. And those opportunities arose, I'm certain that certain women wouldn't do what they have to do to make.
Right. So you have to give them other options. You just can't, you know, if you just can't take away their food and say, okay, you know what? You know, you've got to find another way to feed yourself, because if you do it this way, then, you know, you're going to be suspended.
Those are good ideas, though. These are definitely good ideas, you know, just to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've talked about this off and on, but it you know, it's something that has to be decided upon, and it's something that the women as a collective group needs to say, you know what, this is how I would like to see the sport go, or this is this and this is that, and it really needs to be followed through, and you need to be consistent and pound the pavement with it. And you just can't say, okay, we're going to do this talk and we're going to come to a decision and then let the ball go, because then you're going to be in the same spot that you were several years ago, and then you're going to be frustrated, and you're going to come back and say, you know what, nothing ever changes, and blah 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 blah, you know. And that's what you know, that's just like with anything. When you're starting a company or anything, you know, you have an idea, you pound the pavement, and you make that idea happen, and you stay on top of who the decision makers are, and you say, this is what we want, this is what we need. Well, how come we can't get this? Well, what can you do to help us get this? Okay, well, how come we can't do it this way? How come we can't do it that way? Well, how come this person has this? You know, I'm asking for your help. But obviously, female bodybuilding is still, there's still a desire to see it. There are still fans out there who appreciate the sport, or else we wouldn't have anybody coming to see us.
You know.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, we just talked to Debbie Bromwell about it, and, you know, the Tampa Bay Pro is now back on, and they actually raised $17,000 in 10 days. So that's just telling you that there are still fans out there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, okay. So that is back on. So what are your plans, Nancy? Many people, honestly, Nancy, were very glad to hear that you were coming back on stage, and we're excited to see you. What are your plans for the rest of the year?
You know, my plans for the rest of the year, once I sit back, like I said, I haven't viewed the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I need to look at the pictures and see. Well, actually, I know how I look, so I really don't need to see the pictures, but I know how I look. I need to come up with a different game plan and decide which show I'm going to do. And in choosing that,
you can win that Tampa Bay show, too, Nancy. They want to see you. You know, you come in ripped, shredded to the bone.
And see, that's what I know that I need to, you know, I know that that's the condition that I need to come in at. So, like I said, all in all, was it a disappointment for myself? Yes, because I'm better than that, and I wanted to come back into the sport in the same condition that I left at. It didn't happen to me. I accept that, and I have to correct that.
So, Nancy, is the return of Nancy Lewis for real? Are you back or what?
You know, I am back. Like I said, I have a lot to give the sport. I'm definitely older, older in a good way, meaning more mature, more, you know, when I wrote the letter, definitely angry and, you know, outspoken. Do I still
and that's not
believe
even,
in the things that I wrote?
Nancy, that's why I wanted you on the show, though, because I wanted to, you know, I know you were kind of worried, but I you are like, you have an idea. You have a, you know, you're not afraid to speak your mind. What's wrong with that? And I think
I was saying, you know, I believe in what I wrote, and I believe in professionalism, and I believe in respect of, you know, all the
nothing
athletes, you know, in the sport. You know, and there are certain things that you should and shouldn't do out of respect for your competitors. And so that's what angered me the most, is that, you know what, okay, this is extremely disrespectful, and we are all athletes, and we're all trying to make a living, and we all want to, you know, be treated equally and have the same opportunity to have those photo shoots in the magazines and those spreads, and we all want to get outside the realm of bodybuilding and cross that line and get into the main public and promote not only the sport, but promote, you know, yourself as a product, so that you can, you know, maybe have a fashion photo shoot of a fitness wear that's outside of, you know, some of the companies that promote the shows. And that, I think that's what everybody aspires to want to do, so that when someone says, oh, okay, bodybuilding, yeah, I seen Colette, she did that photo shoot in Shape, or she did that photo shoot in Vogue. So that they say, okay, well, you know, women bodybuilders, they don't look like me. We don't look like that all the time on stage. And there are certain phases that you can do a nice photo shoot or a nice sexy photo shoot. And yes, you're not gonna be a string bean. No, you're not gonna be that.
Right, but you're gonna have your own flavor.
You're gonna have your own flavor. And for every flavor that's out there, there's somebody.
Yes.
There is a group of people who's gonna rock with your flavor.
Well, you know, Nancy, how do people get in touch with you? Do you have a website? Do you have an email? Where are you? Where can we find you? Where can the people that are listening?
Well, let me tell you, girl. Okay, so you know, out of all my years in this sport, I've never had a website.
Oh my gosh, Nancy, totally missing the curve. 20 years. Are you working on one?
I am working on what, and that's the thing, Colette, you know, I've, and people have told me, my best friends have told me, I said, Nancy, you
Come
know
on,
what,
you gotta market
people
want to
get in contact yes. with you, and I never believed, I'm like, oh,
no, they do.
You know, I'm going to do this show, and then I'm going to go back into my own little, you know, my own little hutch. And I'm just going to disappear, and then when it comes time to do the next show, I'm going to come out and do the next show. And I've been that way forever. I'm really, really shy.
Well, it's time to break out of that comfort zone. People,
I know. I'm really, really shy. So I'm
You'll be surprised what's going to come to you when you give out a little bit. There's so many people that I've really met along the way, even with just that need your help, or and you inspire, and you're like, what? I do that? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I didn't believe it, but I, like I said, when I was at the show, it was... it was refreshing
Good.
To meet some people who says, you know, I'm glad that you're back. We've missed you. And then some of the other competitors, you know, kind of made me feel old. But it's like, oh, my gosh, I remember seeing you in the magazine. And, you know, when I was just starting, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Like, wait a minute. 29. Yeah. 29 Holden.
You know, I'm like, okay, all right, well, you know, thank you. But it was, you know, it was nice. And I really didn't think that there were a lot of people out there who actually remembered me or remembered who I was. So. Well, and that's
oh, I definitely remember you.
And yeah. Nancy, we want to have you, you know, you were awesome. And I'm telling you, you really fulfilled a lot of dreams out there, because we have had emails. Can you have Nancy on? We just want to mm-hmm. get to know you, because you don't have any outlets. So we appreciate it. And I told you it wouldn't hurt. We're so nice over here. We're like, great.
Yeah, right.
Like, I love you. We want everybody to love us over here at Muscle Girls, Inc. But we would love to have you back on, hopefully, like, with the conclusion of 2009 and have some plans for the Olympia this year. It would be pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And I am working on my website. Like I said, this is a new, I mean, like I said, I, you know, I am an extremely shy person, Colette, and you know, for, like I said, my years in bodybuilding, I've never, you know, I know that a lot of bodybuilders will go to the other shows, and, you know, they'll be out there and network. And I never did that. I never really had a desire to do it, because it was like, okay, I did my show, and I really like spending time, you know, with my horse. I really like, you know, just being lost,
right.
You know, in the valley and going on long horse rides and spending time with my family. And that those things are, you know, really, really important to me. And I know that in this sport, you know, you have people who want to see you, who want to talk to you, and you have to be there for them, too.
Yeah, you have fans. Mm-hmm. They love mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, so that's something that I never did.
www.nancylewis.com. Do you have that? Did you buy the domain name?
They want it, you know what? I did not buy that domain name. I'm looking at a domain name, and as soon as I purchase it, there's
let
a couple
know.
That I'm looking at. I will definitely let you know
we'll
what
up.
That's going to be, and okay. I will put that up. It will be under construction for a little bit. I do have... email, if anyone would like to email, that they can email me at, that I would definitely give that to you. But yes, it's all coming, you know, Colette. It's, you know, I'm really slow out the gate after so many years.
We see you did our show, so that's, I'm so happy about it. That's a start.
Yeah, it's a start, and I'm really, really happy that you decided that you would like me on the show.
Well, if you need like anything, you can always give me a shout out, and definitely let us know your email. We'll put it up on the board so they know how to get in touch with you. And like I said, Nancy, thank you so much for your time today. You were awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate
awesome.
It. Thank you so much,
no,
Nancy.
No, well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show. And like I said, I am definitely back. You will definitely see me in that condition that you did at the Jan Tana. You will definitely see me back in top condition the way that I'm supposed to be.
Oh, I'm excited.
So that's something that
you know, I'm promising myself, and I don't make promises that I can't.
No, you're straight up.
Yeah, I need to tweak some things and you know, mm-hmm. get some things together, but definitely not at, definitely far from my best at the New York, but, you know, at least my feet are back out in the water, and mm-hmm. Now I think body and mind are going to be one.
Awesome.
You know, getting everything together again.
Awesome. All right, Nancy, you're
well,
the
good
best.
Good luck to you, Nancy.
Good luck, baby.
Well,
thank you. Well, Chrissy, what a great show today. We had Dave wrapping up the female bodybuilding at the New York Pro.
Mm-hmm.
We have Debbie Pramwell, who is beyond inspirational. I don't know about you, but Chrissy, don't you feel just like, wow, she's just so full of energy and life.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, you know, she's just so positive, and it's great to be around positive people like her.
Oh, everybody looks at the negative instead of the positive. Oh, she's so good. And then Nancy Lewis, I think she cleared up a lot of, you know, wondering thoughts about why she retired and what was the deal, and I think she put a lot of that to rest. She, you know, she's really eloquent and answered the questions great, and I think we look forward to seeing her, the best Nancy Lewis, back on that stage in the rest of 2009. So, you know, I'd like to thank, obviously, Nancy Lewis, Debbie Bramwell, and of course, Dave Palumbo for his wrap-up of the New York Pro Show. And until next week, remember, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RXMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RXMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.